Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Yesterday it was announced that three Buckeyes, Julian Sain, Jeremiah Smith, and Bo Jackson, are on the Maxwell Award preseason watch list. Ohio State is the only school in the Big Ten to have three players on the list for the award given to the College Player of the Year. Both the Guardians and Reds were off yesterday, but will be back on the diamond tonight. The Guards will play the New York Mets up in Cleveland, while the Reds will be down in Cincinnati hosting the Athletics. Both games start at 6:40. And finally, five-star quarterback Christopher Vargas told On3 that he will announce his college decision this Saturday. Ohio State is considered the favorite to land the quarterback, who is number one at his position, according to Rivals and 24/7 composite rankings. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union. Visit BMIFCU.org/visa to learn more.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tyvis. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun. Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. Happy Tuesday to you. What's up? I'm T-Bone. He is Tyvis. Good morning, Tyvis. How are you?
I am doing well. You know why I'm doing well?
Why are you doing well?
Because the Guardians actually did something yesterday.
Oh, I fully intended to start off the show like that today.
You know what? It was one of those situations where I had to make sure Ashton Kutcher wasn't about to jump out. Because I surely thought that I was getting punked. I walked out of here and I said, yeah, the Guardians ain't going. They ain't serious about that. They ain't making no moves. Because they don't never make any moves. They don't never go for it. So why would they do that today? You know, you see that we was talking about the Scooble thing. And it just kind of watered down the whole baseball the other day. And I'm sitting there. And it's about, I don't know, it's about 3, 4 o'clock. It's probably like 2. And I get that alert and I say, Joe Adele. What?
Oh, yeah.
That was it. Okay. They didn't put a bat in there.
Hey,
so
that's.
So I'm sitting there. I'm content. I'm like, oh, they got a bat.
That
I'm
feels
content.
Good. Yeah.
Sitting there again. Next thing I see, Nathaniel Lowe. I said, whoa. You getting the lefty? Getting the lefty. Okay. Let's go. Then I see Foster Griffin. I said, is they sick over there? What is this seriously happening? So I was very happy with what the Guardians did at the deadline. I mean, you got a pitcher, you got two hitters. Joe, obviously, if you add his production to this lineup, he's like first in home runs, first in on base percentage.
I got it for
all
you.
Those things.
He on the Guardians roster, Joe Adele ranks first in home runs with 16, first in RBI with 62, first in hits with 102, and versus left-handed pitching, second in average with a 303 average against lefties, second in OPS, 909. First in home runs with 10 against lefties and first in RBI with 29. So this is how big of a day it was yesterday. They optioned the guy who did lead the team in home runs on the Guardians down to AAA Columbus.
Kyle Manzardo
is good. Night, mate. He's back, baby. He's here.
It's sad too, because Kyle Manzardo is a guy that, first of all, there was a lot of pressure on him, you know,
of course.
When they made the trade, what they trade? Aaron Savali for him. And I remember like people was a little bit upset about it because Aaron Savali was one of your starting pitchers at the time. I think they traded him to the Rays. It was at the Rays. And Kyle Manzardo was coming in and he was going to replace Josh Naylor. And Josh Naylor was, you know, he was a home run hitter, big RBI guy, was batted behind Jose. So, like, that 1-2 combination was good. So, when they moved on from Josh Naylor, a lot of pressure went on Kyle Manzardo because he's replacing that, and they need that same production.
Yeah.
Kyle Manzardo it was a solid year, but it was no means like a Josh Naylor. And, you know, you've been waiting on him to put it together, and at times he has. But it's been wildly inconsistent. So to think that they're optioning him down, I didn't think that would be the person that they would option down. But you got to make space and you got to make room. I thought it'd be Reese Hoskins, to be honest with you. But, hey, whatever.
Now, the Nathaniel Lowe thing is interesting to me because he's coming over from the Reds.
Yeah.
where the Reds had a situation where they had a bunch of guys who were on either, you know, expiring contracts or things like that, that they desperately need to move. They are not in contention. They are not a threat. And they didn't move almost any of them. But the one they did move was Nathaniel Lowe, who then a lot of Reds fans enjoyed in his short time there. So the Guardians get a guy from down 71 to come up and join and help them out in the playoff push.
Who's been doing a really good job this season against right-handed pitcher. He's been killing right-handed pitchers.
22nd best OPS versus right-handed pitching in all of baseball.
Yeah.
Nathaniel Lowe. So obviously, you're going to platoon him. Like
I think, I want to say almost everybody in the Guardians bat is like lefty. They all bat left, I want to say.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, that's...
Well, Jose's a switch hitter, but still.
Yeah, yeah, they obviously, Guardians needed to do things, and they did. And the Reds, meanwhile, Tyler Stevenson is still there. Like, I don't understand what the plan is, and I don't know that Reds fans understand what the plan is with Nick Kroll. Like, this guy is apparently a GM who thinks that the best option when you have guys whose deals are expiring or soon to be expired is to hang on to them because, quite honestly, he doesn't, I think, understand that. Like, I don't think he has a plan for that roster other than, well, we're going to head for a lockout. And then after that, I guess we're just off to pick up the pieces. Like, I don't know what they did yesterday that made them any better. Didn't they pick up, who was it that the Guardians dropped? Was it Juan Brito?
Juan Brito.
Yeah, he got DFA'd yesterday.
Who's also been, he was,
or a couple days ago, whatever it was.
A few years
Reds
ago.
Reds picked him up.
Everybody used to tell me, oh, Juan Brito. I'm telling you, I think he's going to be really good. He's one of those prospects that's going to be really good.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's been up a couple of times, but I've never really saw it. I've never seen it out of him where I'm like, where this guy's supposed to be the guy.
Yeah.
So apparently he never put it together either. So it'd be interesting. Maybe the Reds can do something. Maybe what's my guy? Tito can get something out of him because yeah. I'm pretty sure he was there when Tito was there.
Why? Yeah, that's fine. Why would the Reds make any moves? They stink.
No, there's nothing they can do to get to playoff contention.
No, they can make moves.
No. I'm not talking about bringing guys in. I'm talking about getting rid of guys who you are not
fire
keeping.
Sale.
Yeah, why not? Like, yeah. What are they doing? Like, yeah. That doesn't make any sense to me why they wouldn't just say, all right, we acknowledge that we don't have anything this year, but I genuinely think part of their issue is like with starting pitching. Brady Singer, I don't know if they have enough guys in the lineup to replace him. Like, I don't know if they have enough starting pitching that they could actually say, great, we can get rid of him, and then we've got enough cover for everybody else for the rest of the year. Like, so, ooh, that's
they got
bad.
Chase Burns, Hunter Green, Brady Singer,
Andrew Abbott.
That's their five or four, right?
Yeah. I'm saying, like, I don't know if they trust anybody. Trust anybody to come up and not be like,
Does it matter?
Well, no, it shouldn't. But again, that's the only logic I could see on that one. Tyler Stevenson could have, I would think, bring you a haul, but apparently they didn't get enough of an offer for him.
They probably tried to trade Brady Singer, but he's ass this year, so no one wanted him.
He was.
He's got a 2.70 ERA since June 1st, though. Like, I'm not saying that
when
means that, undo, that undoes
come back
them.
For them.
Yeah, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know.
Also, all the moves that you mentioned, Tyvus, great for the Guardians for the next couple of years. But on this show, we have coined the phrase fade Slade. And it didn't work out for us last week.
It did not.
But he's 8. The Guardians are 8-13 in his starts this year. And he's who's on the bump tonight. So I will continue to ride the trend.
I wonder if they got Foster, how is this? Would he be the guy that gets? No, because they got Gavin, Tanner,
well,
Parker.
You're not setting those two down.
No, or, yeah, Parker Messick is an all-star.
He's not setting him down.
Who am I missing? Slade and who else?
Off the top of my head, I don't remember.
Then Slade getting sat down. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're going to be able to go down the street of Huntington Park and be able to see him soon.
Oh, it's Joey Cantilli, and you ain't sitting him down. No, yeah, it would be Slade.
Yeah. So they obviously, I mean,
Slade ain't on the bump tonight. Joey is.
Oh, is he? I didn't know. I'm not looking at their roster.
I'm not looking at who's playing now.
Okay. That's fine. All I know is
Slade on the bump tomorrow, though.
For now.
The Guardians did the type of thing that you should do when you have a somewhat competent starting pitching rotation, which they clearly do, and you needed bats. Well, they added to the rotation and they got a couple bats. So, and in Joe Adell's case, he's like great defensively too. Wasn't he the dude that like fell into, like, didn't he rob like 3 home runs in a game? The one where he ended up standing in the outfield, in the stands after he caught one of them?
You know, it's interesting because the Guardians have been, they've been experimenting with Kwan. They put him as center to start. Then they moved him back to left. I think Joe plays left.
Does he? Okay.
I think so.
I thought he was in right field when he made those plays.
I can't remember. I'm pretty sure Kwan is going to be.
At least the high, again, didn't watch a lot of Angels. It was Angels, right? It's where he came from?
Yes.
Wasn't that? Yeah. I don't watch a lot of, one, don't watch a lot of baseball. Two, don't watch a lot of Angels baseball late. However, the highlights I remember seeing of him diving out, you know, and making all these plays, I thought were all in right field. From that game specifically where he robbed two or three home runs, however many it was.
Now I got to go look it up right quick.
But the one was he was definitely in right field because he ended
definitely
up.
Definitely is in right field.
Like in the foul pole, like area in the stands. He caught one, fell into the stands, stood up, and then that was the angle I remember seeing of that
they
play.
They put him at right field, though.
I don't know what they're
right
going to do.
Right field is the spot that you just kind of stick somebody at. You just put them there.
Not in the majors.
Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. With the Guardians, they've been doing it all this time. We've been trying to find a right fielder for years.
Okay, maybe you did. Nah, maybe you just did.
I don't think so. I think he too good to just be putting them in the right
Your
field.
Your logic is he's too good to play right field.
I think
even
so.
Even though the Angels had him playing right field.
Who's our center?
And you
who's
just said, we need to
us?
Find a right fielder.
Who's playing center field for us now? That's what I don't know.
I don't remember.
The reigning MVP in the American League plays right field, Titus. Like, it's not a stick-em-there position.
It is. Yeah. I'm telling you.
It doesn't have to be.
I'm telling you. With the Guardians,
get him
yes,
on the field.
Is.
You need. It doesn't matter. Put him wherever. You need him in the lineup. That's the big thing. You need guys who can hit.
They put Big Christmas at right field. I'm telling you. They were just putting people out there.
Titus, that's not a good
answer.
Your logic makes no sense.
Telling you.
They've just plugged that hole 27 different ways with guys who couldn't do it. So now definitely don't put the guy who's great defensively out there. That would be a mistake.
No,
I don't understand it.
Because I don't know who's playing center field. So you're saying center field is not more important than right field?
No, whoever you have. Okay. Put the three best outfielders you have at left, center, and right. That's what I'm going to say. That's my, hey, guess what day it is
what
today?
What I'm telling you
today
is
a big day.
But what
you know
I'm telling
what day
you
it
is they got two out of the three. So if they got two out of the three, what spot are you leaving open?
You can't even tell me who the center fielder is, so why are we having this argument?
That's like, my point.
Like Joe Rogan arguing COVID.
This is exactly my point.
Hot Take Tuesday. I think they should put the three best outfielders in the outfield.
I get what Tyvus is
saying.
There
we go.
Now,
but I know. Okay, that's fine. Tyvus, I understand what
you're
saying.
Also, you're right about Slade starting tomorrow, so thank you for saving me from that.
There you
we'll
go.
We'll fade Slade tomorrow.
Fade him tomorrow. Anyway, trade deadline. It came and went. Guards did great. Reds were ass.
Thank you, McNeil. Reflog. Stephen Kwan plays center field. So who's
that's kind
playing,
of a big guy.
Who's
big
playing
deal.
Left? Well, he ain't been performing well when he's been playing. So he put him at left for some odd reason. He can hit again. It's okay. Ridiculous.
People are mad at Indiana football. I'll tell you why next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Tuesday. As expected, we are seeing slowdowns as you're approaching New Albany 161 in that eastbound direction, really over by Beach Road. So when you're passing 62, you're already down to 30 miles per hour. At least looking better from the west side coming into downtown 70 at 670. No issues there. And even that western outer belt 270, only a 5-minute commute between 33 to Roberts Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
Buckeye football fall camp is coming. Will Julian Sain take his game to the next level? Will Matt Patricia's defense dominate again? Join us live for training camp fun starting Thursday, August 6th. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking at plenty of sunshine here for your Tuesday with high temperatures up into the mid-80s here this afternoon. Winds will be fairly light out of the northeast at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. As we head into tomorrow, we are tracking some more sunshine, but there will be a few more clouds and even the chance for a couple showers and maybe a thunderstorm later on in the afternoon. High temperatures will be into the upper 80s here on your Wednesday. That's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
Pervert in the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. No, I've never heard of the band on T-Bone's shirt either. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
I need to find the video and post it at Bone and Tyvus 971, and I will. But you need to go look up the video yesterday, if you haven't seen it, of Nick Kroll, Reds president of operations, president of baseball ops, sitting at his desk, it appears, or somewhere in Great American Ballpark, answering questions from reporters. And the man is sitting there in like a faded blue polo shirt, looking like he hasn't shaved. And I get it. It's trade deadline day. The man might have been up for 36 straight hours. I don't know. You have to work the phones. It's a very busy day. I get
doing
it.
What?
Well, yeah, doing nothing apparently. You have to watch that video of him talk, because he is so uninspiring. If I were a Reds fan today, I would just be so pissed off that I'm watching what I thought was going to be like a really fun year for this team just completely fell apart because of, you know, the first few months of the season. They just weren't good. But now you have a guy who could trade some assets, get you some pieces back, maybe help try to build something a little bit around the core guys you want to keep and still stick around. And maybe he is capable of doing that. But when you watch that press conference, he just looked like someone who had been dragged off the street and said, "Hey, get in there, Nick." Like, he didn't even have a Reds polo on or like anything that signifies that he works for the team. Nothing. Like, just wearing what looked like something he dragged out of a suitcase from 2 years ago and forgot he had because he's going on vacation. Like, I'm mad insane with this man.
I'm mad you sent me this.
You can see it. You can see it. He's,
well, they should have.
Does not inspire confidence. Is all I'm saying.
He could at least have a logo on the polo.
It does not inspire confidence. And I'm not usually someone who judges how people dress.
And he like staring his face. This is a terrible screen grab. just staring his face.
Yeah. My fashion sense can easily be described as such.
I just could not give a bollocks.
I wear black t-shirts and baseball caps all the time. Goodness. That's what I wear. But like, I'm not trying to rip just because of like fashion that this guy sucks. I'm just saying, like, when you hear him speak, you see the moves, and then you hear no like outline of a plan, and then you look at him and he also looks like an idiot. Like, what part of that inspires confidence? He looks dumb. He sounds dumb. He does dumb things. How do you think the guy is actually any good?
Why would you send me this?
Because I think everybody needs to see what this guy looks like. It doesn't make sense.
We cannot criticize them for not selling any assets because, according to Tony in the YouTube chat, the Reds are only 6 games out of the wild card. And this is why I am pissed off that they have 3 wild card teams now, because it induces confidence that is not warranted.
The Guardians
are in right now.
I'm applauding
that third wild card spot right now,
Dylan. I am applauding that because that is such a spot on take. It's not a hot take, even though today is, of course, Hot Take Tuesday. We love that. We love your hot takes. More of those coming up in a second. But it's what I said about college football, about the college football playoffs expanding to 12 and then 16 and probably eventually 24 whenever we get there.
Don't say that. Don't put that in the atmosphere.
You know what's happening already.
No.
Is you have a bunch of loser talk.
We gotta enjoy the 12 team.
Fine.
They wanted to do it after just 2 years of the 12
so
team.
So stupid. Crazy. So stupid. But what I'm saying is, like, when you had 2 teams making the BCS or 4 teams making the playoff, that left it to about probably 8 or 10 teams a year who were like, "Well, I don't know if we should fire our coach yet," because, you know, like, they might be a little bit more like wanting to fire their coach because they're thinking, "We've got to make the playoffs, and if we don't, we got to fire this guy." But then you had a bunch of other teams that would sit back and go, "Well, we can keep Kirk Ferentz around because, yeah, you know, hey, 9 wins a year, pretty good. We know we're not ever winning a national championship with the guy, but that's fine. 9 or 10 wins, pretty good. Go to a bowl game, we like that." Now that you got 24 teams getting in the playoffs, you got a lot more teams thinking they actually have a chance, and there's going to be a lot more activity. And that's, you're going to have a lot more of these coaches getting fired with massive buyouts, and everybody's going to cry poor and go, "We don't know where all the money went. It went to the guy's $50 million buyout you gave after signing him to a 2-year extension, or giving him an extra 2 years, $100 million, because he made the playoffs once in the 16-team or 24-team playoff," where that's loser talk. Those guys suck. They're not any good. And by the way, the Reds aren't any good. They're not making the playoffs. You shouldn't think they are.
You know,
but they should have traded off assets and got something for it. Instead, they think maybe we're in the playoffs. No, you're not.
This is how I know the Reds are having a great season. Because I haven't heard Baker say, America's team.
It's been a while.
About America's team.
I feel bad.
I see Matty Ice draped in his red stuff. It's bad.
Are you accusing our coworkers of being fair weather fans?
Absolutely. You got to ride the thing to the wheels fall off it. They is hiding in the clay store. They stuff in their closet. They ain't touching it.
The Reds are on the radio, though, so.
Yeah, they are.
Yes.
That's right.
Right here.
Why is it that whenever we put a team on the radio, they suddenly lose? Other than Ohio State, apparently. We put the jackets on, and we've been the home of the jackets for 25 years, and they're just ass. And then we picked up the Browns, thankfully, and yay, they suck. And now I got the Reds, because like, oh, Cincinnati needs some representation, and then they fall apart. Great.
But if they ever all get good. Just imagine what happens for this station. You can catch it all right here on 97.1 The Fan.
I mean, all those teams are habitually six games behind a playoff spot two-thirds into the season, and their stupid fans have hope.
Habitually, the word is in there that they are. I agree with you on that. The word is in there. Habitually, they, yes.
Agreed.
People are mad at Indiana, so here's why. Home and home with Notre Dame was scheduled for IU and Notre Dame 2030 and 2031. Let's just pause and realize that that was actually a matchup that a lot of people suddenly would have been very excited to see, right? Notre Dame football is back and relevant again. Indiana obviously is the defending national champions, so even though it's a few years away, that would have been a nice, because I guess they're all non-conference for Notre Dame, but that would have been a nice non-conference, big boy, out-of-conference thing.
I hope we never fall off like Notre Dame or Miami did. Boy, that,
right, it took them a long time to kind of get back to relevance. So that series has now been canceled, those two games. And part of it was, I mean, Indiana, according to the reporting, Indiana called up Notre Dame and said, we would like out of this series. Now, I don't know if that's just convenience. I don't know if that's Indiana doing a favor to Notre Dame. I don't know what the thing is, because Notre Dame, as a result, supposedly, of this falling off the calendar, Notre Dame can go back and they're going to work something out with, it looks like, USC. Because they wanted to play earlier in the season. They didn't want to play late in the season.
Notre Dame did.
I believe that's right. Okay. One of the schools, wanted to play early. They didn't want to leave it to like the last game of the year. They wanted it to be earlier in the season.
Didn't it like rotate like 1 year? It was like week four, and the next year is like towards the end of the year.
It might have been. I don't know. I know they were arguing. I mean, the fact that this even happened, that they aren't playing each other currently, is a travesty in the world of college football. So
they duck and smoke.
Now it looks like Notre Dame and USC are going to play. So that's the positive here. But the negative is for Indiana.
I blame USC. I really do. I'm going to just say what I think, because this is two times that USC has come out and tried to duck something. First, it was the LSU one, which they ended up beating LSU, I believe, that year when they played them. And they tried to get out of that game. And now it seems like now the next one is this Notre Dame. I believe it's USC.
Yeah. That's all I know is this. Like, I think it's bad for college football, obviously, when we lose good rivalry games like that. If it's USC's fault, if it's Notre Dame's fault, I'm sure both fan bases would point the finger at the other and point out things that the other, you know, leadership said. But I mean, I know that USC fans at the time, to your point, were actually pretty pissed at their own school. You know, like some of them were anyway. Not maybe all of them, but some of them were saying the people who run USC are also trying to make a buck off of this and turn it into something it doesn't need to be. Now, Indiana, they're part in it. It's been pointed out that next year, here's their non-conference schedule for the next few years, as of what we know right now. Indiana this coming season will play North Texas, Howard, which is an FCS school, and Western Kentucky. Next year, Kennesaw State, Indiana State, again, FCS, and UMass.
This is Indiana doing it?
Indiana, yeah. Austin Peay, FCS, Eastern Michigan, and Miami Redhawks, not the U. 2029, Ball State, Eastern Illinois, FCS school, Western Kentucky. 2030, Indiana State, FCS, and Delaware. 2032, they have a game scheduled with UConn for some reason. Okay, put that in basketball, people will be more interested, but maybe not in football. Do you have a problem with that?
What's ours again? Oh, we got Ball State and then Texas.
We got Texas. We got technically have Alabama on the schedule the next couple of years after that. So, I mean, like,
Do I have a problem with it? Yes and no. I feel like they should get one easy one, one tough one. I feel like that's the right recipe.
This will be a
non. But I understand why he's doing that.
This will be a non-story in 2030 because by then Indiana will go back to being ass.
Oh, don't say that.
Hot take.
I like it. I like the hot take.
No.
Even though I disagree with it,
that
I like it.
That better not happen.
No, I'll tell you what. In 2 minutes, we'll just because I think I'm kind of torn on this issue, but I'll tell you the parts of this that I like and the parts I don't. We'll get to it in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, just in case you're heading out towards the airport on the east side, your roads are still looking nice and green on our big time saver traffic map, especially 670 in that eastbound direction, as well as westbound and even 270 southbound once you're passing Gahanna. Also looking great for our friends on the north side. No issues to report 270, 23, or even 315 if you are heading downtown right now. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fans.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Two men, one appendix. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
So Indiana football has decided to not play Notre Dame, which does free up Notre Dame to play USC. Cool. However, it also leads to the fact that Indiana has on their non-conference schedule at least through 2030, not one Power Four school that you could point to and say, not even beyond Power Four, like just no one of note on their schedule other than directional schools, FCS schools, and in-state, even that, like not anybody good.
Okay. What is it? Is it nine conference games you got to play? Everybody's playing. Right?
Yeah, we've been. I mean, and that's what the Big Ten has been doing. Now the SEC has to do it too, and they're all terrified.
They are so funny for this because they're taking advantage of the fact that they can schedule these cupcake games.
Well, I have two thoughts here as a college football fan, right? Like I have to think of it as a college football fan.
It was only better because of Texas. We playing Ball State and Kent State this year, so it's like.
Well, but who's the third game, Tyvus?
Texas. Kent State.
I'm saying they're playing two teams that are not that good, and then Texas is in the middle of all that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the only thing saving it, but like.
Well, how many games do you want them to play? How many games do you want Ohio State to play? You want them to have three non-conference games with all top five teams?
No. I don't want it to be like. If it's going to be get like Cal or something like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? It ain't got to be a MAC school.
So you want two Power Fives and one that's.
Are we doing that? We calling the Pac-12
Power Four.
They're in the ACC, sir.
Don't forget.
Oh, I do it all the time. I see Cal's playing Syracuse in November, I'm like, why are they playing non-conference this week?
Yeah,
this is stupid.
Yeah, it is. And you're still betting on it either way. It doesn't matter what conference they're in. You're still betting on it. Because you're degenerate, and I like that.
But do you remember last year, Indiana, they canceled their series with Virginia?
Yep.
And they asked Cignetti about it, and he said, we're adopting an SEC scheduling philosophy.
Yes. Oh, and then pissed them all off.
Yeah.
And see, here's where I'm at. Because, like, as a college football fan, I acknowledge it is bad that the trend in college football has been, hey, if you don't play big non-conference games, you probably have a better record, a better chance at getting to the playoffs. And then what happened last year with Indiana? They played a cupcake schedule, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they got through a cupcake schedule. And then when they got to the Big Ten championship game, they had to play the Buckeyes. Beat them, beat everybody else on their schedule when it came to the playoffs, and they won all their games. They're the national champs. So I don't know that I can argue with the approach. If I were an Indiana fan, I would say that worked last year. Let's do it again. And if I'm a fan, I'm saying, like, from that standpoint of winning games, I see the logic. I also see it from the logic of the SEC did this for years and no one gave a bleep about it. You know what I mean? Like, no one cared when all these other schools did it.
That Ohio State do three cupcake games too?
No. What I'm saying is, as a college football fan, I hate the fact that this is becoming the pathway that, right or wrong, schools are looking at and going, oh, if we just did that, that'll make it easier to make the playoffs, which is insane. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because I don't think you're getting tested. I don't think it's good.
Some schools don't offer their name. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I'm saying Indiana. You would never have thought Indiana could play the schedule they played last year. The only way they could do that is if they won all their games, and they did. So Kurt Cignetti is looking at it saying, the SEC did this for years. Why don't I? I respect it on some level in that regard. But the problem I have is, why do we watch college football? We want to see matchups. We want to see good games. You're going to have to wait till a Big Ten game for Indiana to have a test. You're not going to get to see it in their non-conference. And if every school goes that route, September. Well, Ohio State has it yet.
That Alabama is penciled in.
Yeah, but you can argue last year. I don't know if I agreed to this philosophy, but a lot of people do. A lot of people think that Ohio State struggled in the postseason because they weren't battle tested in the regular season.
Yeah, but I mean, they couldn't help that with the Big Ten schedule, but they did have Texas on the schedule. They couldn't help
to no fault of their own.
Right. I'm saying, like, I agree. I would rather have a battle tested schedule, because even if you do lose a game or two, like, the logic doesn't make sense to me.
I'm curious
that we're now at 24. We're heading towards 24 teams, and you've got schools saying, yeah, we don't want to schedule anybody. 12 teams right now. 12 teams get in. 5 SEC teams got in last year. None of them want to schedule big time games. I don't understand it.
I'm trying to figure out the fact. Well, first of all, if you was a coach and you knew your job was on the line to make the 12 team, would you schedule tough opponents?
I probably would do it out of principle, because I'm stupid. Like,
I would probably sit you down and say, hey, listen, you're the coach at Ohio State.
Who's they? Who's sitting me down? If I'm the coach at Ohio State, who sits me down and tells me what I have to do?
Athletic director.
I'd say, who are you? I was here before you.
Let's say, yo, boss.
Go buzz off.
Yo, boss.
Leave me alone.
If he sat you down and he gave you the pros and cons, he's going to say, you know what? You probably want all these nice, tough games, right?
But
you're at Ohio State. Mm. Even if you play 3 cupcake games and then run the Big Ten, even if you drop one in the Big Ten, you're still going to go to the CFP. So why add extra pressure to yourself?
You know what I would say? I would say,
and put a harder game in there.
I would just be all cliches. I'd be like, number one, pressure makes diamonds. Two, you're sounding like something that I don't like around here.
Yeah.
Get out of my
office.
You
sounded like the hillbillies down south right there, because their logic is not scheduling a tough non-conference game because we just added an SEC conference game, and yikes, it is hard to play football down here.
Oh, yeah, sorry, you can't play the Citadel in November like you did.
They got to go to Starkville with the cowbells instead extra time.
Back to last year when they kept saying Ohio State didn't play anybody. I love that they kept saying that, because it means that Texas in the big bad SEC is nobody. So if we beat Texas again this year in week 2, would they still say?
Well, they're not going to say that this year, because Ohio State's schedule, one, if they beat Texas on the road, then everybody will say that is real. They will also, if you beat Oregon and Indiana and USC and Michigan and Iowa.
I'm so mad I can't go to that Texas game.
Where are you going to be?
Indiana.
Oh, I bet they're playing. Who are they playing? We just said.
Who are they playing?
They're playing nobody.
Howard.
Look, I'm just saying, I understand Cignetti's logic on it. As a college football fan, though, on principle, if I were a coach, I would say, I think the sport deserves to have good games, and I don't think they have to happen just in the conference schedule. I think if other schools aren't going to have the balls to do this, fine. But I would. And I would say, if I'm coaching at Ohio State, yeah, I'm doing that. But also just because, like, why are we even doing this? Like, when you played basketball or football or baseball as a kid, did you like to go if you were a teenager, did you go play against fourth graders and just, like, dunk on them all day? Was that fun for you? Or after, like, 5 minutes, was it like, this kind of sucks and I know I'm better than all these guys? Wouldn't you want to, like, test yourself against the best as often as you could if you're a real competitor?
Depends on where you
are. And I know the people at Indiana are. I don't understand. Like, I get his logic is this mathematically works out better in our favor. But I don't understand where the competitive juices aren't like, hey, I want to do this because I think it's good for the sport. Like, I don't. Hey,
everybody just trying to keep their jobs.
I guess
that's all that is.
I guess so. And by the way, we have Zach Brown tickets to give away. We will do that in the 7 o'clock hour. Plus, we will do some of your hot takes on a Hot Take Tuesday. More of those coming up. You can drop them in the YouTube chat right now. YouTube 971 The Fan. Click on T-Bone and Tyvus. You'll get in there. Or you can call our voicemail line, 614-460-8010. 614-460-8010. Coming back. Morning Wood is next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, just in case you're heading out towards the airport on the east side, your roads are still looking nice and green on our big time saver traffic map, especially 670 in that eastbound direction, as well as westbound and even 270 southbound once you're passing Gahanna. Also looking great for our friends on the north side. No issues to report 270, 23, or even 315 if you are heading downtown right now. I'm 10 TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan
org. All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube, along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's Gaudi gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
When Tyvus looks at Bone, he sees the future. Bald, fat, white. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Imagine any other system, like in any other sport. College football is, I always think, it's the greatest sport that I would love to show to, like, an alien that lands on the planet and is like, take us to your best sport. I will take you to college football. Because it would just blow their minds. It makes no sense. Sometimes explaining it to myself makes no sense. Like, for instance, Dylan, could you imagine if the NFL every year was like, pick your own schedule, do what you want. We'll schedule your conference, your division games. Those are locked in, just like in the Big Ten, you have your conference schedule. But beyond that, you got a few games to play with where you can pick whoever you want. Like Sean McVay with the Rams just decides, I don't want to play anybody this year. So he just schedules the Browns three straight times. You know what I mean? Like, that's not ever going to be good for the sport. But that's what we do in college football, is you can schedule essentially three bye games if you want to, where you just pay teams to come in and get the ass whooping, and then they take it and that's it.
Could you imagine the Browns getting better via just having teams lobbying to pay them and getting in bidding wars to play them for a few years in a row, and then finally they get enough money to outbid people in free agents?
There's no other sport where you just get to pick who you play. Like, I mean the NBA doesn't do it, NFL doesn't do it, Premier League doesn't do it, Major League Baseball, NHL, name your sport. Like, golf, you can't even pick. I guess you can pick which tournaments you go into, but once you get there, they assign a group that you're in that you have to go and not compete against those guys, but be there.
Just put it in a computer, put the three games, randomize it, and whatever three it land on, that's your three.
Well, you know how that would happen, and I'm not advocating for this to occur. But the only way we're ever going to get to like a centralized scheduling like we have in pro sports for college football specifically.
AI.
Nope.
Three letters.
Allen Iverson. No, it's
CBA.
Well, CBA, CBA, or it's six letters, Big Ten SEC.
Yeah.
Those two just break off and then they're like, okay, now we don't play anybody but ourselves. And that's all done by a computer. And they'll get enough teams in that super conference thing. Like, if they did break off and do that super conference, that is, I think, bad for college football. However, every game would pretty much be, every weekend there would be bangers.
But see,
they would do that.
But there are still other games that I want to see. Like, I want to see Ohio State versus Clemson in the regular season, or Miami, which we saw that, 10, 15 years ago,
In this scenario, The Save College Sports Act has been defeated in Congress, and Big Ten and SEC have both gobbled up the remnants of the ACC and the Big 12, right, whoever they want. Like, yeah, in that world, we are talking about like a 24-team SEC and 24-team Big Ten, and those schools like you're talking about have all aligned with one or the other.
Yeah, then the rest of college football is cooked then.
I'm saying that's when you'll get the schedule you want. Because I don't know any other way they're going to get to centralized scheduling, but that is the issue. That is why we have this in college football.
Bone, what you're forgetting with all the other leagues you're mentioning, they're professionals, and these guys are just little amateurs trying to go to school and get their degree, Bone.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
It's all just guys kicking it around with the co-eds just out in the quad.
Should I go to practice today?
I guess I will. I've got that big chemistry exam. Maybe I could push off the chemistry studying for a little football practice, then I'll get back to it. Those days are long since gone. I understand it, but
you're getting all that money in that free school and use it.
Oh, yes, you should
take
use
advantage
it.
Of it.
But of course, I've said this is my last thing, and then we'll do the next thing. But you say education matters. People say education matters in college sports. They want kids to get an education. Cool. Let them get the education when they're not working 8-hour days playing their sport. Let them get the education when they don't have something else taking them away from the education. Let them have a four-year scholarship whenever they want it, at 30, at 40, whatever age makes sense for them. But like sometimes 18 to 22, when they're playing, they all think they're going to the NFL or the NBA. That may not be the best time to try to figure out the rest of your life when you actually think you're going to go play sports the rest of your life.
You know what they should do? They should look like Nick Kroll when they go to college.
Just staring off into oblivion, the Reds team president of baseball ops. Yeah, you're exactly right, Ty.
It's good to know where you stand on the important issues. Oh, my. This is Morning Wood.
All right, Dylan, Morning Wood question number one, please.
All right, my first two Morning Wood questions are inspired by one voicemail we got.
Okay.
Good morning, gentlemen. So to help, it's Trey Brown from North Columbus. Got a couple hot takes.
Great.
One, filet mignon, worse cut of steak.
Whoa.
$50 for a puck.
Whoa.
And half the time it's mid.
Whoa. I like it.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. I like it. Picasso. I like it.
Would you agree with Trey and say filet mignon? I won't say it's the worst. But will you at least say that it's overrated?
No. The best cut. It's the only cut that I eat. So
same.
Are you kidding?
I contend. Here's another hot. You want another hot take? I contend you guys don't like steak.
Oh man,
that's not how steak tastes.
I don't want fat on it. I want it.
That's steak.
No,
that's what steak is. Steak is great when you have some fatty in there.
Do you eat the fat?
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. I look forward to it.
Fat.
Oh, I leave it on. When I'm making my steaks, like, T-bone. I leave it on. Caramelize it.
I understand leave it on for the cooking reason, but, like, you actually eat the fat?
Oh, yeah, I'll eat the whole thing.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, nah, y'all sick.
See, I wouldn't say that's the only cut I eat, but it's my cut of choice.
Y'all out of line.
I'm with, who was his name? What was
Trey.
His name? Trey? I'm spot on, Trey, because
I've ordered,
Trey, I've ordered a filet, I think, once or twice in my life, and both times I was like, I would have rather had something else.
Because
I've had all the other steak, and I'd prefer all the other cuts to filet.
No,
personally.
I'm good. My wife is huge on the ribeye.
I love a ribeye, too.
Filet. We're flipped. My wife only gets the filet. But I get whatever's looking good to me that day.
I'll get a New York strip. Just give me some steak.
I just don't want it. I don't feel like cutting off fat and then like.
But you need the
steak. You ain't gonna eat it because it's fat.
No, you need the fat in there to marble, to caramelize and make the fattiness miss is me. The moisture. It's
miss me with that. Oh,
it's so good. All right, Morningwood question number two.
All right.
I think
yes, and this is also inspired by Trey.
Hell yeah.
Number two, Swenson's Galley Boys. Top three fast food burger of all time. Are you with your mama? Thanks, guys.
I'll tell you what.
I love me. Now, listen.
Galley
every
Boy's
time
good.
I go to Switzerland, I definitely get that Galley Boy every time. So I to say it's top three.
Yeah, would you say it's top three? That's the question.
I'm not willing to go there.
I'm putting
there.
It in the top five. I'd go top five.
I'm not willing to go there.
I'm trying to think of all the fast food burgers. I've only had a Swenson's Galley Boy like twice in my life. So
you should go familiarize yourself for research purposes.
I need to do it.
Yes. Right.
I mean, I have
for
had
the sake
them.
Of the
they
show.
Got a, they got a Galley Girl now, which is, I think, is a chicken sandwich.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Thank you, Tyvus, for giving us fast food knowledge as you do daily.
Does seem, I mean, I'm just gonna lie. Seems kind of sexist, right? They're turning the girl one into a chicken and then the boy one is a beef. That's a weird.
I believe that is right.
Oh, you probably are. It just feels weird. That's all I'm saying. No, I wouldn't put it top three, but it's top five. Would he ask top five?
He said top three. I said top five.
Top five. I got some Whataburger that I definitely would have in my top three. I would definitely put a Five Guys burger in my top five. It's really good. Culver's burger is excellent.
You know what people are going to
say? I wouldn't put the Galley Boy over any of the, like, McDonald's, Burger King, any of that stuff. Come on, let's be
real. You
know
real. What burger
that's better than
I think is overrated? In-N-Out. I'm not about In-N-Out.
You two can go to hell.
No, In-N-Out. In-N-Out is scarcity. It's scarcity. Yeah. I guarantee you.
It's a rare thing, yes.
Every time I get my Big Ten schedule and it say UCLA or USC, do you know how excited I get? Because I know that I'm going to In-N-Out.
I'm telling you. I think it's because I think 70% of their business when you go to L.A., is tourists or people who don't live there regularly, who don't have it where they live.
Where in LA?
Yep.
What do you mean? Yeah, I'm saying, because that's like, or if you go to Las Vegas, don't they have In-N-Outs there? I'm sure they have them everywhere now. Like, we don't have them here, but I think doesn't we In-N-Out should. Have a headquarters in, I think they have a headquarters in Nashville or something. They've started putting them out this way, but, oh, you know how else has a good burger? Cookout. Yes. I put the Cookout burger up above. Well, I put that up there too.
Now, hold on.
Cookouts. You and I both, we all agree on Cookout.
If
they open a Cookout here, folks, I'm just telling you.
Is it true?
The show may be off the air for a week because we may not do anything else other than just live at Cookout.
That Five Guys technically has the best burger.
No,
it's good. It's a very good burger.
I seen this ranking. I actually showed it to T-Bone and asked him, did he agree with it? And it had the best fast food burger is quality is Five Guys.
You know what? My perception might be off because I feel like they put a ski mask on every time I go in there.
That's a fact.
So you might be right. If I had all these burgers for free, I might like Five Guys the most, but... We don't live in that world.
Cost is a factor. I agree with that. But just purely on taste, like, I do think the Five Guys people still put together a good burger. I don't think it's as good as it used to be. It's still good.
Tyvus, next time you go to L.A., do what Ice Cube told us to do and go to Fat Burger.
No, I haven't had that. You know what? The one thing I did have in L.A., Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. Delicious.
Is it legit?
It is.
Not just the hype?
I got the Obama.
That's the thing you can get there? Yeah. What is the Obama?
Like three pieces of chicken and like two waffles.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Is that what he ordered when he went there?
I don't know, but whatever. It's the best thing on the menu in my personal opinion.
I was looking at places to eat in New York, and there's a place that has a burger challenge that if you finish the burger, not only do you get it for free and you get a t-shirt, you get to make a menu item at this restaurant that stays up forever.
Like you get to this.
Huh? Yeah, I'm not trying it because it was like a pound and a half of meat, and I was like, I'm trying to walk around New York, not throw up on the sidewalk. But yeah, that looks fun. One of the most powerful people in sports shows he knows very little about the way social media works. You will hear from him next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Just a friendly reminder about those culvert repairs happening right now on 33, which eventually turns into Riverside Drive as you head north. It's between Fishinger and Edgewood Road is where you can expect that closure, and crew members hard at work there. Lots of orange barrels in the distance. Once again, it closed Monday just yesterday. It's expected to end September 17th after 45 days. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Yesterday was announced that three Buckeyes, Julian Sane, Jeremiah Smith, and Bo Jackson, are on the Maxwell Award preseason watch list. Ohio State is the only school in the Big Ten to have three players on the list for the award given to the College Player of the Year. Both the Guardians and Reds were off yesterday, but will be back on the diamond tonight. The Guards will play the New York Mets up in Cleveland, while the Reds will be down in Cincinnati hosting the Athletics. Both games start at 6:40. And finally, five-star quarterback Christopher Vargas told On3 that he will announce his college decision this Saturday. Ohio State is considered the favorite to land the quarterback who is number one at his position, according to Rivals and 24/7 composite rankings. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty and get a cash offer today. 614-472-000. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Much like your morning boner, this show would embarrass you in front of people.
These guys are a total embarrassment.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
I do think we may need to drug test some of the people in the YouTube chat.
What'd they say?
We got probably, steak takes.
Something is probably true.
Hot takes. Yeah, it's a hot take Tuesday, and I welcome the hot takes. And I actually think... the one that I was going to reference
cracks me up.
Well, do you have meat sweats? One of the ones that he said?
Yeah, Hot Take Tuesday. White Castle doesn't get enough love. Best breakfast sandwich. This man is really been on this White Castle thing.
They are good.
Hang on. I don't know. Who eats at White Castle? It's been like
people.
20 years, more than that, like 25 years for me.
Tomorrow on your official cheat day, even though every day is a cheat day.
Not true.
That's right. We should get some White Castle.
Yeah, why not? That's order White Castle
I
breakfast.
I doubt that's even on there.
Yes, it's on there. It's White Castle breakfast. Yeah. Of course it is.
What sure it is. White Castle is on there.
White Castle is, I'm pretty sure, still. I'll be fair, stained. Oh, no. It's been a while. I'm pretty sure White Castle is one of those places where if they're open, any of their menu is available. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong on that.
You know what I learned?
I think that's the case.
I'll be dumb. It is on there.
Tyvus, just because you haven't experienced something in 25 years doesn't mean other people aren't experiencing it.
I don't see, like, no bread. Well, now I stand corrected. You
yes.
gotta scroll down.
You, it's because I'm telling you.
There is on there.
Their whole menu is available, I'm pretty sure, whenever they're open.
Bojangles is like that too. You can get breakfast all day at Bojangles. I did not know that. I saw a big billboard on the west side though, and I was like, okay.
I need to know me sweats. What are you getting? The bacon toast slider, the bacon breakfast slider.
Tyvus, they're small. We could try all of them.
No, see, no.
Yeah.
We can't do that. We can't do that.
Yes, we can.
No,
we have free will. Do whatever we want.
I know.
How many sliders you think you can eat?
Two.
Okay, then get two different sliders.
Yeah,
you child.
Oh, dude, I went yesterday. So Sheetz had a thing on my app where I was going to get gas, and they said, "Hey, we have like sliders, burger sliders, new burger sliders, like reformatted or something." And I'm like, "Okay, let me try those." So they had the option was three. I got three of them, got them in the car, eating on the way home. I polished those things off in like 5 minutes and said, that was not enough.
Ate them like potato chips.
They were good. I liked them.
I need to read you this definition and you tell me if this applies to me.
Okay.
A person with a deep, active interest in food, eating, and cooking as a hobby rather than just a way to stop hunger.
That's the double dingy there.
Yeah, that's absolutely that right. Is the definition 100% a of a foodie.
And, that's
and
you.
I am not an idiot.
I'm even more convinced
that's not
now.
Me. That's it not is. Me.
You have a deep concern about the food that goes in your body. Now, it just so happens you like to go to Chipotle a lot to satisfy that need.
But I have had Chipotle in like a month.
Yeah, because you're eating everywhere. Because
you're eating chicken. You're eating the chicken wings at Bojangles. The Bojangles chicken wings have taken over your life.
Not
which again,
Popeyes.
Put some respect on it.
Not Bojangles. I'm sorry. You had Bojangles in my head. My bad. But yeah, I'm just saying. Like you've been eating Popeyes wings, so that's why you're not eating the other stuff.
The sausage waffle slider. Is the meat sweats.
Let's do it.
I like Rusty's take on steak. He said, "Steak. I'm a Salisbury steak budget. He's on a Salisbury steak budget."
There's nothing wrong with that.
Hey, I've had Salisbury steak more than any other steak in my life because we might not have been poor, but my mom wanted us to think we were.
Did you guys eat? I don't think we ever had it growing up. We never had that at home.
Salisbury steak?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Supplemented with some white rice.
I was just telling my kid. I was telling my wife this. Like, my kids eat ribeyes and fillets.
Yeah, no.
I've never. I didn't get that until I got to Ohio State where they catered it from Cameron Mitchell. That was the first time I ever got this. Kids eating it at 6 and 4.
Oh, I rarely let them have a steak just because I don't need them to have that as a thought that, like, that's what we do when we go out.
Guess what they get it at? Medium. I said, yeah. I was well done back in the day. Y'all
that's right.
Off
you,
the
no, your
hook.
Kids, and what are they eating? Ribeyes?
Yeah.
Good steak. Unlike you.
Oh, please.
Filet mignon.
my daughter, my oldest daughter, had a filet the other day. So,
and she probably was like, this is mid.
No, she ate every bite of it. She ate every bite.
Yeah, because it's made for a child. It's child-sized steak.
I
want a real cut of steak. I want some actual meat.
I've said it before. I think steak is earned, not given. What do these kids do to deserve a steak?
I'm with you.
Not a damn thing. With you. They're freeloading already. I ain't buying them a steak.
No,
I should fight back.
By the way, a few more of the one I said that actually needs drug tested in the YouTube chat was AJ Hawks Tua, who admits this. He says, "Hot Take Tuesday, the Browns will win the division by 3 games. On an unrelated note, I got a new crack pipe yesterday." Bingo.
Did he say that?
That was indicated by the message. Thank you.
Yes, we got that.
Yeah.
We tracked that.
Yes.
We were good.
He also got a supply of dog food.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I need to. By the way, Tyvus, on the dog food thing, this is dog food, but DAWG, like dog pound dog food up in Cleveland. Why is everyone suddenly on, let's not have a two-way quarterback battle, let's have a three-way quarterback battle with Dylan Gabriel in the mix now?
They should just do
that. The hell is wrong with
honestly,
everyone?
Honestly, it should be Shador versus Dylan Gabriel. Like, that technically what it should be, but they're not going to do that.
No.
Wouldn't that be unreal?
Dylan Gabriel, listen, he been with the threes, and I think he moved up to the twos. He been doing his thing. He been very solid. Very solid.
The Browns' backup secondary,
that's exactly
which you have said has no depth.
I keep telling you, I got to see it again in the game and in the joint practice. I have to see it.
So here's what we're going to do. Now, because the Browns and Todd Monken apparently has been, he's fallen right in line with all the other idiots they fired up there. They listen to the radio and the TV people.
Think so?
They listen to that so much. They get so turned around by like, oh, well, Shador fans will be mad. They are so self-conscious up there that now they're hearing all this Dylan Gabriel smoke. They're going to actually let this guy do some stuff. They're going to put him into actual first team reps, which is so stupid.
He actually looked pretty good.
Oh, my God.
According to the...
I know it's crazy to think. He actually looked pretty good.
I can't. Then I would agree with your sentiment that it should be between the two guys who are not damaged goods.
Oh, for sure it should
be.
But
since they won't do that because the Browns are stupid, then they need to just go ahead and let him be hyped up and have everyone hear how great he is and then trade him immediately and get something for him. Dylan Gabriel, trade him.
I tell you what. He go out here in these preseason games.
Oh, God.
And again, this joint practice, and he looked like he'd been looking. Somebody might do it.
I'm just saying, like,
you know who would do it? Kevin Stefanski.
he doesn't need to see him. He already knows him, like the back of his hand.
I'm saying you got a trade partner who would be willing to take him. Go get him right now. Listen, go get him down to Atlanta.
We need to play better.
Tua is hurt. Michael Penix is hurt. They need another left-handed guy to come in there and get the job done.
Well, according to the Browns quarterback tracker on Twitter, Dylan Gabriel only went 7-for-12 with 0 touchdowns yesterday. Deshaun, 13-of-25, no touchdowns.
Who cares?
Shador, 8-of-16, with 2 touchdowns.
It's crazy.
I hate that so much
that we look at breath, that like it's the Holy Grail.
Breath, print, video, everything has been wasted on this Browns quarterback battle, which will end up being nothing but a failure, right? It's either going to be Deshaun Watson being bad and injured.
Don't say that.
It's going to be Shador being okay, and then probably throwing some awful picks and everyone being mad at him. Or it's going to be Dylan Gabriel throwing the ball into the back of like offensive lineman's ass crack because he's so short. So that's good.
Patrick
this is
Mahomes
what we need.
Do that yesterday. The center snapped him the ball and he threw it and hit the center right in the back of the head.
It didn't look good. However, Pat Mahomes has a track record that would allow me to possibly let this play out as opposed to Dylan Gabriel, who I want to see never again in a Browns uniform. But whatever. All right, we didn't get to the most powerful person in sports who doesn't know how social media works. We'll let you hear that guy next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Looking at some busy roads out there for your early Tuesday, starting in our northeast side by New Albany. This time around, it's 161 in that eastbound direction. When you're passing 62 over by Beach Road, that's where you get some issues. You're down to 20 miles per hour when it comes to your speeds. Also, a heads up for our east side drivers that are heading downtown, especially on 670, a little bit slower westbound, just passing 71 out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Pizza.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking at plenty of sunshine here for your Tuesday with high temperatures up into the mid-80s here this afternoon. Winds will be fairly light out of the northeast at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. As we head into tomorrow, we are tracking some more sunshine, but there will be a few more clouds and even the chance for a couple showers and maybe a thunderstorm later on in the afternoon. High temperatures will be into the upper 80s here on your Wednesday. That's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. If it's 4:30 in the morning and you see a ginger version of Dom DeLuise speeding down 33, don't panic. It's just T-Bone.
We are driving. We are driving.
We like driving. We like driving.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
We are eating.
We are eating.
All right, I got a hot take for you. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
It is deeply unsettling to me the way that we have
gone, like, I have whiplash from how fast we have gone from no one acknowledging Ohio State's men's basketball program even existing before January around here to now. I'm getting round-the-clock updates on their excursion to Puerto Rico as if that's actually a thing. This is bizarre to me. Like, I got Adam Jardy's posting left and right about they're in Puerto Rico. They dominated this Puerto Rico team. Oh, my God.
It's like two select Puerto Rican teams.
Puerto Rico teams.
It's I got a Puerto Rico shirt on right now, and I don't give a damn that Ohio State's beating up teams in Puerto Rico. I'll tell you that right now.
Me either. I don't either. And I am a huge Buckeye basketball fan. I am someone who says it would mean as much to me if the men's basketball team won a national championship as it would for the football. In fact, I'd want it more. Because I've seen football championships. I've never seen a men's basketball championship my lifetime.
You know where you at?
Where am I at?
Ohio State.
What do you mean?
It's a football school.
Tyvus, that's fine. I'm saying as someone who has largely wanted to see the basketball program get a little more attention earlier in the actual season, the fact that I now have...
What I got?
I got 200 people in my timeline who are like, oh, back, baby, Buckeyes. And then like the snorting emoji with the air coming out of the nostrils. They like, it's, And I'm like...
They got a kid who might not even be here after his 1 year. They might have a one and done.
The Chocolate Factory?
Anthony Thompson.
My guy.
Hey, he played really...
Isn't that the name? Anthony Thompson?
Is that what they call him?
Anthony Thomas. Anthony Thomas. Whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Anthony Thomas. Anthony Thomas Chocolate Factory, I think is what the name is of the Chocolate Factory. Whatever. Close enough.
He had like two games in the teens down there, so therefore he's now LeBron James.
Yeah, he's the top five.
What about the L.J. Smith kid?
Yeah,
reclassified?
They got him now too. Everybody.
Scottie Pippen's son?
Scottie Pippen's kid?
Scottie going to be at the game? Larsa going to be at the game?
Well, I saw people freaking out because that could be a whole nother. It'd be fun. I just saw people freaking out about that. And then apparently Oklahoma is also doing this, like Oklahoma men's basketball. And they played one of these teams the Buckeyes beat by 40, and it was like a close game. And so then I saw people freaking out about that. And Adam Jardy, to his credit, jumped in and said, hey, for what it's worth, Oklahoma appeared to play like seven guys. They have a bunch of dudes injured. So it was, let's just pump the brake. I'm just saying, I'm glad the attention's there. I'm glad we're paying attention. This is good. It is a little jarring to me. I don't know what happened where we went from no one even acknowledged. Like, I hope you guys keep this energy when in November and December, they're actually playing games and we could all get interested in it. And the interest just goes nowhere because there's football stuff to talk about.
You got your Big Ten Plus subscription?
You know it. Plus renewed.
He never unsubscribed.
I never unsubscribed. I had to keep it. Tyvus, I do it mostly to see all the foot videos they post of you. That's what this is on Big Ten Plus. It's just you uncensored, and that's why I have it. By the way, I have Zach Brown Band tickets to give away. Zach Brown Band coming to Nationwide Arena on Friday, August 14th. We will give those away at 7:45 this morning. So what is that, 25 minutes away? Stick around for that. All right, I've been teasing this for like two segments. I should probably get to it. This is Rich Paul, agent to many a star, but certainly LeBron being one of them.
LeBron James.
He has a podcast, and he was talking about the social media algorithms and how that is apparently people are getting rewarded for ripping LeBron James.
Somewhere in the algorithm, somebody said, hey, if you speak negatively about LeBron, people are going to pay attention to you. Mm-hmm. I think that somewhere is in the manual of social media somewhere for people. But criticism or critique is always welcome. But there's another level.
Okay. One, there's no media manual to tell you how this works in the algorithm. But the bigger point I want to make is that algorithm is, I heard someone say this and I thought it was spot on. Algorithm is just, every time you hear that word, take that out and put audience in there. That's what that means. Like, there's not an algorithm for hating on LeBron. There's an audience for it. There is a, and it's not be just LeBron, is it? There's Tyvus up in Cleveland. What happens if you say anything about negatively, positively, anything about Shedeur Sanders? What happens?
Oh, man.
Goes crazy.
The aunties is coming for you. RIP to your mentions.
Right.
And you can't come back. I'm going to tell you that. That means you chose your side and you can't come back. They know you ain't, he was good. Then once you say he was bad, like, that's it. You out on him.
If I post something about, you know, pretty much any other team. It gets a certain number that I'm used to seeing of likes and retweets and posts and what, and that's fine. If I post something about Ohio State during an Ohio State football game, you can like 5x that number. It goes crazy just because there's more people looking for that thing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's what happens with these algorithms. There's an audience for this stuff. So LeBron, yeah, people being negative about LeBron, I'm sure Rich Paul sees that, being his longtime friend and agent and all that stuff.
You know what I would have told Rich Paul if I was sitting there? Who cares?
Yeah.
The man is 41. He'll be 42 this year. Who cares?
He's a global icon.
That's great.
He's one of the most famous people on the planet. Of course, there's going to be some people who are not fans of, like, who don't like him.
I don't care.
Yeah, I wouldn't care either if I were LeBron.
Don't care.
Why would anybody care? Why would Rich Paul, why does Rich Paul have a podcast? Answer, because people, there's an audience for anything LeBron related, and you happen to know LeBron related stuff. That's why. Like,
see, as a big LeBron fan, I'm sure mine and Rich Paul's feed look pretty similar. I'm telling you right now, Rich, there's a lot of LeBron hate on my Twitter feed, and I engage in it.
That's
why.
That's it. Exactly. Because you engage on it, you click on it, and go, I can't believe people are saying this about LeBron. And then it's like,
hate, though? That's what I, why are we hating on LeBron?
The hate is everything from, why does he take so long to make this decision? Yes. He's self-centered. He's not thinking about the team. No one even cares about this guy anymore. He's washed. He can't actually be any good. Oh, he went to Philly. He's just chasing rings. He doesn't care about his family. That was all lies. Like, I'm just telling you what's in the last, I don't know, 6 days.
I mean,
let alone the last 25 years or whatever we've had. I'm just saying, like, this,
all of that,
it's not
true,
a surprise.
Though.
No, but it's not a surprise that people have those
opinion,
feelings.
Man.
Yeah,
that wasn't an opinion. Everything you just said was a fact.
No, but some people say, oh, he's taking his time because he's really deliberating and he's really thinking about this and it's a really tough choice for him. And other people are saying, nope, he just loves the attention. He's an attention whore, all that stuff. And I'm saying that's the positive and the negative. It feels a little bit like what Rich Paul said is kind of like the guy who's, you know, like, I'm shocked at all the pornography on all the social media. And it's like, buddy, there's a reason you're getting that in your feed. Again, you're the audience. I'm telling you, that's why it's there.
I just had
that's
that
why arc. It's because you've interacted with it enough. That it's like, oh, he wants more of this.
See,
let's shove more to
I just
to
had
him.
That argument with a friend, and I said the same thing. I said, I don't get that stuff. I don't get that. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I've done this straight sports related. So I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying, like, there is an audience for it. So, yeah, I'm sure Rich Paul is getting that because he probably interacts with it. And not the porn, the LeBron is. Who knows? I don't know what's on his algorithm. Let him live. I'm just saying, like, that's just, I find the algorithm conversation to be a little bit boring at this point where, I mean, we all say it. It's shorthand for, like, the stuff I look at is now trending this way. But the reason that happens is because you, like right now in my feed, I'm taking a trip here in a week to New York. And of course, what am I concerned about? The food we're going to eat when we're there in one of the great food cities in the world. So all my feed is like, best place to get, you know, pork over rice in Chinatown is this place. And I got 20 of those videos because I've liked them. I've watched them. I've rewatched them. I've sent one to my wife. So now I get those. Now it thinks I live in New York. It's sending me all New York stuff all the time. And then in a couple weeks when I click on something, World Cup, I was getting nothing but soccer. That's just how the algorithm works. It's short-sighted by Rich Paul to think that. Also, I feel like on a Hot Take Tuesday, this is the appropriate time to play this audio. Pete Crow Armstrong.
Mm.
Major league ball player, good ball player.
Yes, he is.
All-star. Yeah, PCA.
Yep.
He was on a podcast talking about wild things that he believes, things that are, I forget exactly how it was phrased. Is that
they
in the clip?
They asked him, like, what's an
unpopular opinion,
yes.
Essentially kind of like a hot take, yes. More or less. And I don't think you're ready for this answer that he has to give. Here it is.
Ruth never existed is one that I like.
Oh my God.
Really? He never existed.
I heard some pitcher with the Mariners, what's his name? Salcedo? You remember him?
Salcedo, yeah, lefty.
I think he did some podcast on Zoom when he was like, going down the rabbit hole with somebody about how Babe Ruth never existed. I was like, dude, that's awesome. Like,
wow. So you're going to double down right now?
Well, it's like we always talk about how like the game's evolving and like people might as well have been like underhanding the ball to that guy. And he's regarded still as one of the best players ever. And you might as well dive further into it and be like, well, maybe he just never existed.
I love it. I love it.
That's crazy.
That's a good one.
That's a good moon landing picture. Like,
yeah.
Are those pictures real?
Yeah, the moon landing.
Mm-hmm. I don't really want to get into this.
I respect it.
You respect what?
I respect it.
What is there to respect?
I respect it.
What are we talking about?
How he feel about Babe is how I felt about Will Chamberlain 100-point game. I don't
okay.
I feel like it didn't happen.
Wait. But no one says Wilt Chamberlain didn't exist.
Yeah,
they say, like, I don't know if he scored 100 points or not, but obviously that was even still widely reported at the time. Saying, I don't know if Babe Ruth existed is... Like, again, unless he's just rage baiting and he's just saying stuff to say it, like, that is a obviously ridiculous take. That's insane. Now, if we want to say Babe Ruth existed in a time where we didn't let, like, a large portion of the population throw baseballs to him, I mean, that I could hear you out on all day. I think that's a valid reason to question some of his numbers, because I think anything pre-integration in baseball shouldn't stand up. I don't think it stands up the same.
The lore around Wilt Chamberlain is surrounded by two statistics. One, 100-point game. Two, 20,000 women. I think it was more likely that he slept with 20,000 women than scored 100 points in an NBA game.
That's 10,000.
I'm pretty sure it's 20.
Well, either way.
Let me look at it.
One of those is verifiable. The other one's not.
No, like, neither are.
You can either are.
There's no evidence of the 100-point game.
There were people who were alive who were at that game.
Guess what? He slept with more women than people were at that game, so I trust that one more.
20,000. No, there's no chance.
That's more. That is more likely. Than 100.
Will ain't got no kids.
He's got
I don't know.
He's
20,000 women, man.
I don't know.
No way he ain't got no kids, or he ain't claiming them.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. I guess nobody was into DNA testing. I guess that wasn't a thing back. We probably didn't have it. Probably it was so long ago. God, how old would those kids be? Because when would that have been, the 60s and 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The results of those encounters would be now 50, 60, 70 years old, some of these people. So, that's
he
crazy.
He was one of them people that just drove through the hood and waved. He ain't stopping nothing. He didn't want to, have to come with some financial replications if he got to stop. Let me just keep on going. Hey.
Which college football team has been the best versus the big dogs of the sport? We'll tell you in 2 minutes. Demona Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Right now, watching some common traffic trouble spots for us, starting just south of Bexley. Yep, it's going to be 70 and 33, that intersection, as you're heading westbound towards downtown. Expect more cars on the roads with you, especially towards that southeast corner. Here we go. Before you're hitting Groveport by Canal Winchester, 33 westbound is the culprit. About a 5-minute commute between Gender Road over towards 270. I'm 10DB's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast. CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Call T-Bone and Tyvus' real hotline phone number, 614-460-8010. Available anytime, day or night. Nighttime can get spicy.
Are you serious? Oh, my God.
Leave a message, and if it's great, we'll play it. And if it's terrible,
Hello? We'll
likely play it, too.
Hello?
Ohio State fans, your first look at the 2026 Buckeyes is here. Join us this Thursday through Saturday at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for Ohio State football training camp presented by Safe Flight and Bob's Discount Furniture. The fans' live training camp broadcast Thursday and Friday consists of T-Bone and Tyvus, you and I, out there 6 to 9. Morning Juice also will be there 6 to 8. Bishop and Friends 9 to noon. And on Saturday, Fan Sports Saturday 10 to 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. Want to go? Secure your spot today at OhioState.com. Don't miss your chance to be part of Buckeye Nation's kickoff to 2026. Gates open at 8 with practice kicking off at 9.
There you go. By the way, it is a hot take Tuesday, as you are probably aware. We had this one from Alex the King, said hot take Tuesday. Yankees choosing Aaron Judge and not pursuing Shohei Ohtani and him too. Shohei Ohtani is a mistake that is equivalent to the Red Sox getting rid of Babe Ruth. Judge is the same as A-Rod, and Yankees won't win with Judge.
This dude has won two MVPs, Alex. And like I told him in the chat, Ohtani wasn't coming east. I can't even blame Alex. I had this stupid opinion. I'm a Yankees fan. When Judge's contract came up, I was like, let's get three good starters instead of this guy. And then he won two MVPs. Hey. I think that's enough to be proven wrong.
I'm just pointing out it's a fine take, but Babe Ruth wasn't real, so I don't even know why you make this comparison, because that's just, he didn't exist according to PCA.
If Aaron Judge played when Babe Ruth was playing, 1,000 home runs.
What do you think Christopher Mad Dog Russo is thinking right now?
I'm not giving it away. First of all, Shaq is the fifth greatest center of all time. Who do you have above Shaq? Are you out of your mind? He said, for one, Kareem. Two, Will Chamberlain. No. I'm not giving it to Will.
George Mikan would run circles around any of these guys now. Who's Wemby? Wemby, nothing. George Mikan in the post.
I don't even know George Mikan. Is he alive? What are we doing with George Mikan?
Oh, my goodness.
Stupid
that
show.
That man, hilarious, man. Show. You know how to get a reaction out of people.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, Stephen A's best on that, if you've never heard that audio, when he goes, I'm not giving it to Will.
I'm not giving it to Will.
I want that reaction where I'm at the drive-thru, and I'm like, saying my order, and I'm like, all right, I want three soft tacos. I want a chicken quesadilla. And they're like, you said you wanted a cheese quesadilla? Like, no.
I said chicken. Don't get it wrong.
I wish that was just my default reaction. How Stephen A is just like, I need that. I don't have that in the bag. I have to work up to that. It's crazy.
Right. Oh, man. I got to go watch it at the break. I got to pull it up and watch it at the break.
See if we can grab that audio so we can just play it, so I don't have to do this dumb impression of it every time.
I prefer the impression.
It's spot on, though. It sounds just like
Yeah, it's, oh God, the arguments those guys get into, most of them I can't tolerate, but that one had me rolling as well. Which college football team has been the best against the big dogs of the sport? So I saw that this list was compiled. Just going back, looking at all the different top 25 AP final poll of the year, top 25 teams over the last 5 years.
Okay? Which is the way we should determine this.
Yeah,
what they are at the end of the year,
yes.
Not in the preseason, not when they played.
No.
At the end of the year.
So here are the teams who had the best records over the last 5 years,
okay,
against teams that ended their season, whatever year these teams played,
okay,
in the top 25. Number one was Georgia, 23-7. Pretty good. Now, cool. I'm going to say that's inflated because Georgia plays in the SEC, and they put teams with five losses from the SEC in the top 25.
Yeah,
so
that is fair.
So they get to...
That's fair.
Because number two on this list is Alabama, 17-9. And we know neither of those teams...
How many
teams
years is this? The past
last five.
5 years.
So going back to 2021, I'm guessing, or 2020 potentially.
Okay, so when did NIL start? 21, right? That was the first year?
I believe that's correct.
Okay. So this,
yes,
is the default.
This is
Alabama.
Starting in
Alabama,
this is,
will be out of the top five. It is soon.
Well, I'm sure their record has changed. If you slid that scale back to another 5 years, like the 5 years prior, probably also.
One.
Yeah, right.
One.
Ohio State's number three at 14-9 against AP top 25 teams at the end of the season. So third overall. Number four was Oregon at 12-11. Now,
that's terrible.
Well, it may be terrible for Oregon, but that is, those four teams, Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Oregon, are the only four teams that have a winning record against top 25 competition over the last 5 years. Top 25 at the end of the season. So if you go look up top 25 wins, that may be different because they're viewing it from week two, this team was top 25, and then they fell out and never got back in. Now, teams with a losing record, here you go. Texas is 12-14 in such games over the last 5 years. Meat Chicken is 10-11.
Meat Chicken?
Michigan.
Oh.
You've never heard that?
No.
Have you ever heard Muck Fishigan?
Yes.
That was risky.
You
definitely
I walk on a razor thin line. I know what I've been doing this for 20 years. I know what I'm doing.
I know you off next week, but boy, you was about to start that vacation early.
Oh, I got there. We're good. Don't worry. But then you have Ole Miss at 9-9. Notre Dame at 9-10, Texas Tech at 9-10, USC at 9-15.
Dang.
TCU 7-9, Miami 7-10. Oklahoma State 7-10 as well. Washington 7-10. Tennessee, that program, which everyone, Tennessee's right there, folks. Any second, they're going to burst through and be a top five program again. They are in Tennessee.
What is it again? Their record?
Last five, I'm about to tell you. Last 5 years against AP top 25 at the end of their season, they are 7-15. Gross.
That's about right.
BYU is 6-10. Iowa State is 6-12. Louisville is 6-12. Oklahoma, another program that should be better than it is. Oklahoma's record in those games, 6-17. Take a shower if you're an Oklahoma fan, because you probably need it anyway. Well, but that is awful.
Well, you know, they're in the SEC, so, you know.
Well, they haven't been for the past 5 years.
I'm not going to give it to you. When did they get in?
Didn't they go with Texas?
Yeah, they did.
They have to have been in the last 5 years, though.
Google is free, and I'm about to use it.
I'm going to say 2022. I'm going to say they've been in since 2022. At least.
It is the
2024.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it hasn't been that long.
Oh my God.
You guys had me thinking I was...
What's wrong with me?
On dog food.
Okay. You...
Right. You can me if you want to.
Really? Wow.
That's it. Yeah, it hasn't been that long.
It's been long.
It probably got announced 5 years ago.
That might be probably why I'm thinking that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's what they did when they weren't in the SEC. So what does that tell you?
Like, they stayed.
They were playing. Yeah, they.
They should have stayed in the Big 12. They would have been in the CFP every year.
Mm-hmm. They had a home playoff game this past year. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Who they play, Bama?
But that was in the battle of our helmets look like a used Cadillac. That's what those two schools have. Such great color scheme. I love it. The burgundy versus the burgundy.
John Mateer fell off, too. He was in.
See the pictures of John Mateer, though?
The gambler? What about him?
No, there was a picture of him with, like, he was, I don't know what he's, where, what is, John Mateer's back, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They had a picture of him, supposedly it said, it had to be AI, because it was like, this man had his shirt off, he looked like Thor.
Oh, I see it.
What happened? What is this dude? Is he training for the Odyssey? He's not training for playing quarterback.
They
like,
say it's on his Instagram.
Is that real? Real picture? I mean, the guy should stop doing this and he should go be on GQ or something. Cause I mean, that's good for him.
Do we think if Brandon Sorsby would have got his gambling winnings via Venmo, like John Mateer, he would still be playing?
I don't get how that even happened. Cause John Mateer is just like, that's not
that
my account.
That is a real photo of him.
All right. Let him live. Good. You know what? I'm fully staunchly in my heterosexuality to admit. I'll tell you right now, that is one of the handsomest men I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
That guy is crazy.
I don't see that. Right.
I do. I see it.
I don't see that.
Tyvus, I don't see color. I do see male hotness, though. I see male hotness everywhere. I see it all the time. More of your hot takes are next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Right now, watching some common traffic trouble spots for us, starting just south of Bexley. Yep, it's going to be 70 and 33, that intersection, as you're heading westbound towards downtown. Expect more cars on the roads with you, especially towards that southeast corner. Here we go. Before you're hitting Groveport by Canal Winchester, 33 westbound is the culprit. About a 5-minute commute between Gender Road over towards 270. I'm 10DB's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
Join Russman and Ice every Thursday at 2:30 for Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
A new Hall of Famer joins the show every week. But not OJ, because he's dead and probably a murderer. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Both of these men love the Browns. Also, both of these men hate the Browns. If you know, you know. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, I got these tickets to give away to Zach Brown Band on Friday, August 14th at Nationwide Arena. You get a pair of tickets if you can do the following. You call 614-821-9710. I need you to name 3 Zach Brown Band songs. It's not caller 12, caller 15. It's just you get in, you name 3 Zach, scream them at Dylan. Dylan will answer the phone and just yell. I want you to
sing them.
Sing them and throw a cuss word in if you have to. I don't care. Like, the more the merrier on that. If you do that first, you get the tickets. Pair of tickets to see Zach Brown Band. More info, Ticketmaster.com. He'll be in town August 14th at Nationwide. We do have some hot takes for you. Okay, you ready, Tyvus?
Mm-hmm.
So it comes from B. Sprague. Hot take Tuesday. The SEC is that guy in high school that says he wouldn't have gotten a splinter in his, if he hadn't gotten a splinter in his non-throwing hand's thumb, he would have been a star.
Uncle Rico.
Yeah, 100%. I throw a football over them mountains. I agree with that. Coach Beard in the chat, hot take Tuesday. In Major League Baseball, it's actually the left fielders that are the weakest. They don't have to have an arm. There you go. How about that?
They don't have to have an arm.
Yeah, because they're in left field. Throwing out a runner at third or at home.
Yes.
I don't always understand. I mean, I don't know how math works, but I get it. If you're trying to throw someone out from third from right field, that is a longer throw than if you're throwing it from left field.
I used to have a cannon back in the day.
But if you're trying to throw out a guy at home, isn't it the same? No. Left field, maybe shorter in some ballparks, I guess.
Well.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I'll never get old to me.
Did you get that clip? I sent it to you on IG.
Stephen A. not give. Also, insane that he was like, okay, yeah, Kareem is better than Shaq, but Wilt was not. That's also an insane thought.
Kareem has had the most points in the NBA.
Wilt Chamberlain, everyone says, the most dominant player in any era ever.
You think Shaq, because he was a 7-footer.
I think Shaq's better than all of them. I'm just saying, Kareem is viewed as being like, you can't touch him.
I feel like he was okay with the Kareem, man. So I don't,
that's what I'm saying. I don't know if he wasn't okay with Wilt. Wilt was when he got,
I got to go back to something that Tyvus just said, because he's recently been a LeBron hater. He just said Kareem had the most points in NBA history for a while. When LeBron does it, it's a longevity thing. But when Kareem did it in his 20-year career, not a longevity
Kareem
stat.
Kareem played for a long time.
It was legit. But LeBron, it's just because he's been around for a while.
What does this have to do with anything?
It has to do with you being wrong.
Yes.
That's what it has to do with.
This has to do with Dylan being such a fanboy. You're part of the problem. Who's talking about LeBron?
No, you're part of the problem.
Where did LeBron come from?
Because let you it go. Check off.
He's 42. He's playing exactly. 2 years. It's done. That's it's over point. With. I can't wait. Yes. It's over. Let it go.
He's
nobody
going
cares
to usher
about
in.
LeBron if anymore.
If he's 42 and he's not any good.
I dominate my life. He's done. I don't care about LeBron.
He dominates my life.
Where do I go to put in a bet for VJ Edgecombe NBA Finals MVP? Because I'm going to put that in. I'm going to say he's going
to
get it like...
Take it to the bank.
What's his face?
Andre Iguodala?
Iguodala, baby. Yeah. Former Sixer himself. See, I've been a longtime Sixers fan, Tyler. So you don't know about that. Me and Aaron McKee go way back.
Who was their point guard when Allen Iverson
played? Eric Snow.
Good job.
Don't even try Don't even try me on that.
Where did Eric Snow go after Philadelphia?
He recorded that song, what's it? Virtual Insanity. Snow? No? Don't know that song?
Never heard of it.
It's something. No? All right. That's a different guy.
Do you want this voicemail?
Oh, do we have a voicemail? Great. Yes. 614-460-8010 is the voicemail line.
Is this voicemail giving it to Wilt?
No, this is...
I don't know if I like the phrasing.
This is good.
First of all, giving it to Wilt. I don't know. Mike, I'm not giving it to Wilt. I never gave it to Wilt in the first place. I don't know what you're talking about.
Wilt gave it to him, probably.
Wilt gave it to 20,000 people. That guy, Wilt, gave it to everybody. Are you kidding me?
I want me some glory help.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Jerry. Go ahead. Play the voicemail.
This is from our In-N-Out conversation from an hour ago.
Okay.
The thing about In-N-Out Burger that you guys are overlooking, like, one, your argument about scarcity is not false, but In-N-Out Burger only has 5 items on their menu. A hamburger, a cheeseburger, a double-double, and a milkshake. But their consistency is outstanding. You get the same product every single time. So, like, that's where people are. It's not the scarcity. It's the fact that they are just consistent. We bitch about these places like Wendy's and whatever that have too many items on their menu. In-N-Out Burger has 5 items on their menu. Mm. That's why they're king.
Thank you, Snagglepuss.
You know what? That's like if we were playing a game. I get his point. If you were playing
100% right.
Yeah. Well, if you're playing a game of like F, Mary, Kill? You know that game?
Yes. I don't know what the F stands for.
I think you do.
I think you do.
Has to do with that M word that I was saying yesterday, Tyvus. M, not in, different words.
Listen to any Lil Wayne song, Tyvus. I'll tell you what the F stands for.
I just could not give a bollocks.
It's for phenomenal.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
Easy F baby, and the F is for phenomenal.
Sure. F, Mary, Kill, like In-N-Out is the F. Like that's the like there's not much depth there, but once in a while, like a little roll in the hay, sure, it's you know what you're getting. But you're not building a life with In-N-Out Burger. You're not building a life around that because you need some depth. You need some reality. You need some breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can't just show up to In-N-Out Burger for animal style. You go animal style every now and then and you have some fun, and then you go back and to like a steady relationship. That's Mary. You don't marry In-N-Out.
You don't say it like that. They
don't marry In-N-Out.
They often compare that to like a steakhouse. You know, you get a steak every night, but every once in a while you want a hamburger or a hot dog.
No. You get a hamburger or hot dog every night. You get steak is every once in a while.
Yeah, we don't
live
like
you live in.
Jesus. No, I also agree with everything Snagglepuss said. Like, I admire places like Cane's that they know what they're good at, and they just do it. And I do agree that McDonald's and Wendy's need to probably cut back some menu items because some of them aren't very good.
Oh, you know who need to do this? The Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
They got cut it way back.
Master of none.
No, but here's the thing.
They got everything, but they don't master none of
it. I'm going to argue, though, that, like, the Cheesecake Factory and places like that have a massive menu. Yes, sometimes they miss, but that's a relationship. That's 20 years of marriage. Some days you're just like, hey, today it's Linda's famous chocolate fudge cake or whatever, and you're like, this is awesome. And then the next time you're like, I tried the chef's salad. Wasn't so good. But you stay going to Cheesecake Factory every week because you know there's something there for you.
You've been to Cheesecake Factory, I'm sure, multiple times in your life.
Oh, of course. I've been hundreds of times.
How often have you ordered something different on the menu?
Almost every time.
Oh, you...
I don't go... Because I like to try things. I like to experience life with my partner and not just sit there and do the same thing all the time.
What if you don't like it?
What do you mean, what if I... Then I go...
Yeah, but somewhere and try something.
I'll be back in a month and I'll try something else.
So you're going to still eat it?
Yeah, I'm going to still... Because they have 800 things on there. How could you get through that menu? You might take your whole life to get through that.
There's some foodies out here that probably have done it.
I'm saying...
You sound like you on the trajectory to do it.
I'm saying places like In-N-Out and then the like Cane's and those places where they just do one thing, but they do it very well. That's who you spend a fling. That's a weekend in Cabo. That's what that relationship is.
Sedona.
Yeah, in Sedona. That's right. Yeah. That's who you call up when you're like, hey, I got some juicy news for you, but I need you to come over. Like, that's who you call. But you live with McDonald's. You live with Cheesecake Factory and Wendy's because they have a depth to them. I don't know who you kill. I don't know who. That's the one we got to figure out. Which type of fast food or food chain are we killing?
I got some breaking news.
Oh, well, thanks. Thank God we got away from that. Let's move on. I don't know which one we're killing.
Breaking news. Bijan Robinson signed a 3-year extension worth $75 million that will make him the highest paid running back in NFL history, where he received $51 million of it guaranteed, including a $37 million signing bonus.
The position's back.
We go now to Browns head coach Todd Monken.
Like being strong.
Thank you. That's all I have to say about that.
Next up, Jameer Gibbs.
Oh, every running back just said, today's we're going to Cheesecake Factory. And we're getting everything on the menu. I heard a lot of BS in sports broadcasting, but there was a story yesterday, maybe a new low. We'll tell you about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Looking at a few more cars in that Canal Winchester area. Once again, southeast Columbus, a little bit slower, 33 in that westbound direction over by Gender Road. A similar situation, 71 in that northbound direction as you head downtown, especially over by Greenlawn Avenue. And right now, slowdown starting to really form on the west side. This time around, 70 in that eastbound direction, just as you're passing 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
City.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. Yesterday it was announced that three Buckeyes, Julian Sane, Jeremiah Smith, and Bo Jackson, are on the Maxwell Award preseason watch list. Ohio State is the only school in the Big Ten to have three players on the list for the award given to the College Player of the Year. Both the Guardians and Reds were off yesterday, but we'll be back on the diamond tonight. The Guards will play the New York Mets up in Cleveland, while the Reds will be down in Cincinnati hosting the Athletics. Both games start at 6:40. And finally, five-star quarterback Christopher Vargas told On3 that he'll announce his college decision this Saturday. Ohio State is considered the favorite to land the quarterback who is number one at his position according to Rivals and 24/7 composite rankings. This update is brought to you by Roosters. Roosters is giving away 12 ultimate Buckeye experiences, tickets, sideline passes, and trips to a Buckeye first round postseason game. Register today at roosters.com.
Tybus spent his football years tackling dummies. Now he spends his mornings talking to one. This is T-Bone and Tybus.
Still trying to figure out on the F, Mary, Kill scale with restaurants.
Why are you bringing this back
up? Because I think we need to figure out who we kill.
Who we killing?
What's the options?
Well, no. So F, Mary, Kill.
Yes,
so like,
it's three options.
So yeah, I'm saying In-N-Out and Cane's, they fit into the F category where they're like fun once in a while, but you know what you're getting. It's a very shallow relationship.
Okay.
You got depth with places like McDonald's, Wendy's, Cheesecake Factory. Yes, these menus are large, but you can go there consistently and get something different. You can build a relationship with that person, with that restaurant. But which one is the one that just needs to be like, nah, not a chance. I'm completely out on that. Like, I guess for you, that would have been like White Castle, because you've never dealt with White Castle in the last 20 years, apparently.
Something that I would kill.
Like a restaurant that you would just be like, we don't need them. Why do they exist? Definitely, I never go there.
White Castle definitely would fit in that one.
Man. I don't eat there. So, I haven't had it in 25 years.
That's a Columbus
years.
Institution. Tomorrow, when you say, what do you want for breakfast? The answer is going to be White Castle.
Oh, yeah.
I want that whatever meat sweat scent, but I don't see it on the thing.
Yeah, that's fine. More of your hot takes coming up in a second.
What don't I eat?
Can we kill Panera?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Thank
see,
God.
I haven't had that in like...
I just don't...
I ain't had Panera in like 5-6 years.
Well, here... Okay. If you like Panera, and God bless, they're probably great.
Don't do it.
The point is, they advertise fresh, and I know that soup comes in a bag.
Oh, yeah. So I worked there, can confirm, okay. Comes in a bag.
So I'm just saying, for me...
Cut that thing right open and pour it in.
To each their own, but like, I never need to go to Panera again. That's just me. All right.
And I like...
By the way, if they're a sponsor of this radio station, God bless them. They do great work.
That's messed up.
Go to Panera whenever you want. I liked Panera when they would give me an employee discount. They were too cheap to just give us a free meal.
Yeah.
It was half off, but it was still like $12.
I mean, the one I go to, which I only go to usually because the kids want like something, usually mac and cheese. We go there and they're always nice to my kids. So I'll give them that.
You know what they're doing with the mac and cheese? Putting it in the microwave. Like, what are we doing?
That's what I'm saying. I know it's not made fresh. I don't particularly care because I eat it. I eat Taco Bell all the time.
I don't know what you expect though. Like it's.
I expect to just go eat at home at that point.
Yeah. I should have said.
And you should.
Also, like, should. I am actually married to Taco Bell, just for what that's
worth. What's the name of that?
They're in the Mary category for me.
What's the deli you and Fish went to in New York?
Katz's Deli.
That's me at the house. I could have made you something just like that.
That's, no.
Easily. Easily.
I
would have panini Katz's pressed deli, it for you.
Places like that, that's definitely on the F list. That's just like you're in town, you have a nice, you come through.
It's a one night stand.
A little expensive.
One night stand. That's what that is.
Right. That's all it is. And you go, wow, that was fun and a little messy. And I'm out now.
Well, usually if it's that much fun, you do it again.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I saw this from the Boston College. You know, we talk a lot of Boston College basketball in this station.
Oh, you're talking
love them.
Basketball team. I thought you was going to say, where's the guy that was our OC for like 2 weeks and then took
Bill O'Brien.
Bang. Bill O'Brien, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. He's also been lots of other things.
You know what he did?
But yes.
He effed us.
Did he?
F, Mary, Kill. He effed us.
Well,
and then
that's he needs, well, but okay, but he did. I know. Wait.
Put there, it on his resume.
Hang on.
I don't think he.
The man has, I do know, he has a kid, special needs, like health issues, and apparently the hospital there. Remember he coached the Patriots, like, or he was a part of the Patriots organization?
Yeah, he was the OC.
Right. So, like, I'm saying that's a guy who clearly, like, maybe been motivated to go back to Boston for other reasons than that.
However, he did not F anybody because we got Chip Kelly instead and won a national championship.
It worked out.
What are we talking about?
Joke's on him.
It was good.
Kevin Collins and Josh Maurer, they college basketball at Boston College. They are the play-by-play guys who do that, right? So it's play-by-play analysts. They're doing that.
Okay.
So they've been there for 13 years doing this through, I believe, three different coaches,
they said, and
five different athletic directors.
They laid them off, didn't they?
They did, but here's what makes it bad. Luke Murray is the new head coach there. He took the job. He was a longtime assistant at UConn. So you're bringing him in. Mm-hmm. He comes in and says, I want to get rid of everything that had to do with the previous regime because that's loser culture. And I want to get the loser culture out.
That's my biggest fear when it comes to like the Browns.
Oh,
we firing everybody, even the radio people. I'll be like, dang.
I like how it did instantly come back to Ty was saying, like, I'm worried about my money. But yes. So usually when they fire like a radio guy or something like that, it's because, hey, we just didn't renew your contract, whatever. In this case, they specifically said these radio guys thought they had jobs. They were not out of contract. They were going to, they thought, meet with the head coach. They asked since like whenever they hired him, May or whenever it was, they had been asking to like, hey, when can we meet you? We'd love to just swing by and even introduce ourselves, talk for 5 minutes, whatever you got time. We want to be there. And they kept getting pushed off. And now they found out they're getting fired. And the reason is because he thinks that anything that had to do with the last regime is loser. So they got to get rid of the loser mentality. So got to get rid of him. So you got to get rid of the guys on the radio who had nothing to do with your loser mentality.
I respect it, but I don't support it.
Yeah, I don't support it or respect it.
I respect it, but I don't support it at all. Yes. I mean, listen, you get the keys to the castle. You're going to feel it how you want it to be feel. You're going to bring your guys. He might know somebody that's a radio guy. Hey, I'm going to give you this job. So it is what it is. That's under anything. Anytime it's new management or anything, like everybody assumes that they're getting fired.
Well, apparently, the Jackets didn't get new management, to my knowledge, but they're getting rid of everybody too. Because I saw Jeff Sabota.
Look at that!
Jeff Sabota.
Always come back to the Jackets. Yeah,
yesterday we get the announcement. Thankfully Jeff Sabota got to like put out a nice statement there. Jackets insider who we had on this show all last year. He said this is his last week with the Jackets.
So he's just going to be the insider.
I guess so.
All hockey,
maybe
he'll be the Rob Gronkowski insider now.
Is that? I don't. That feels not good. I don't know what that is. Feels weird the way you said that. I'm just saying, like, you got rid of Bob McElligott. A lot of fans enjoyed his radio calls. You got rid of Jeff Sabota. A lot of fans enjoyed the reporting that he did for the team, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, he works for the Jackets, but he obviously did report a lot of the news. But I don't know. This Jackets organization seems to not be able to read the room very well when it comes to how Jackets fans feel, because Jackets fans are a little depressed about how this offseason went. Not spectacular. You had multiple players who you thought were going to be big pieces of the future of this organization say, I don't want to be here. And then they kind of put the fires out, but do we know that those fires are permanently out, or are they just smoldering, waiting to ignite again? I don't know. Either way, if this team doesn't win this year, I think you're going to, I mean, the revolt is already starting to happen from the fans. There are fans who are just not going to these games. Go look when they announce all these sellouts. Go look at 40, 50% of the crowd. It's not people wearing Blue Jacket sweaters. They sell the games out, but not because of the, you know, fans coming and supporting the team. As much as Blue Jackets fans will support this team, they are frustrated. It has been 25 years of mostly ineptitude.
Right now, if you wanted to go to a preseason game against the Red Wings,
okay,
September 21st,
yeah,
how much you think a preseason ticket costs?
I have no idea. You tell me.
$6.
Okay. I mean, now maybe that's not on people's radars yet, but also
$6.
I guarantee
the Flyers and Capitals, 41.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just telling you, there is not the level of excitement about this Jackets team that I think the Jackets internals tell them there are. And when you get rid of people like this, no, people aren't going to boycott. People aren't going to not go to games because they let a reporter go and a guy who covered them on the radio. But at some point, your fan culture, when you don't have winning, that fan culture is the thing that kind of binds that fifth line together. Mm-hmm. Constantly taking that away from people. They're not going to be thrilled about it. That's all I'm saying. And at some point, if you don't win, then everyone is just, why am I doing this? There's no culture. There's no, you don't respect the fans. You don't like what we like.
I want to know who's wearing the seat this year for them.
Well, that's another giant question, given that Boone Jenner's gone, which I agree with that move. I'm not against necessarily some of the moves they've made.
Agree with you. Started it.
I mean, I did kind of say that I'm done with it.
You know, guy, we might have to take the seat.
If they didn't make the playoffs, the you can't have a guy. Hey,
you see this collapse? You got to look at the guy that's wearing the seat.
When did I become like
just negative? Probably no, when you came out the womb.
First of all, when did I sound like this? That's Tom Brady. I'm Tom Brady.
You got to take the C. You got to take the C from him.
When it comes to this offseason, though, Bone, why do they need to make any moves? They've been one game away from the playoffs the past 2 years. They're right there. Close. They're on the doorstep. Yeah, with this core. They're right there.
And that's right. We all just hold our breaths and wait. Hold our breaths? Breaths? I don't know how to say that word. We hold our breath. It'll just happen magically. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to work any of this out. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to make the team better. Nope. Let's just kick the can down the road again. Oh, but fire everyone who actually like covers the team. That's good. Who are the most valuable football programs in college football, and where do the Buckeyes stack up? We'll tell you next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Tuesday. Right now, still watching one crash on the roads with you, and it's really affecting our West Siders as you're traveling towards downtown Columbus. It's 70 eastbound right before 71 and 315. That right shoulder is closed up ahead, but 22 miles per hour are your speeds. That's about a 6 minute delay so far for you this morning. That detour, 70 eastbound, getting off nice and early towards West Broad Street, continue towards 71 southbound, and from there, passing Parsons, you can head eastbound on 70. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Today.
Retirement from football hits everyone differently. For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe. Fan weather
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking at plenty of sunshine here for your Tuesday with high temperatures up into the mid-80s here this afternoon. Winds will be fairly light out of the northeast at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. As we head into tomorrow, we are tracking some more sunshine, but there will be a few more clouds and even the chance for a couple showers and maybe a thunderstorm later on in the afternoon. High temperatures will be into the upper 80s here on your Wednesday. That's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it. Tyvus Powell is a legendary Buckeye. T-Bone loves to eat Buckeyes. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tri-State Men's Health specializes in helping men overcome sexual health concerns with personalized treatment plans designed around their individual need. The truth is, many men live with ED for years before seeking help, but they don't have to. For most men, effective treatment is available because Tri-State Men's Health use advanced medical science to empower male performers with therapies that go far beyond the pills. They got treatments with success rates well over 90%. Some treatments can have you last an hour or more. There are two locations located in Columbus. One is in Hilliard. The other one's in Westerville. Schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health today. The initial visit is only $99, and they have an expert staff. And if you're like a lot of men, you could be having sex the day after your appointment. So call them today at 800-900-9654 or visit tristatemenshealth.com.
It is a Hot Take Tuesday. I have more of your hot takes coming up in a second. However, I saw that there was a list essentially of the most valuable programs in college sports.
Mm-hmm.
The top two.
Ohio State.
Texas was one. And the valuation, so the Athletic did this where they put a valuation on Texas of, I want to say it was $2.3 billion.
Okay.
Ohio State was next, I want to say, at $2.1 billion. Unfortunately, my computer has just taken a dump right here as I tried to pull up this article to look at it.
Mm.
However, I know it was in the $2-plus billion range for both Texas and Ohio State. And I just want to point out, now, you can't buy a football program, well, insert your laugh here. Like, you can't buy one like you can buy an NFL team or an NBA team, right? But the thing is, if we're talking about Ohio State football or Texas football as a franchise, those valuations, if they are accurate, are higher valuations than what you would get to sell an NHL team. Most NHL
Texas,
teams.
$2.46 billion. Ohio State, $2.3 billion. Okay. Notre Dame, $2.1 billion. Wolverines, $2 billion. Georgia, $1.95 billion.
There you go. There's your top five. By the way, all SEC and, well, Notre Dame is an independent, but then two SEC, two
top 10, two Big Ten. Six is Alabama. Oklahoma's tied at seven with USC. And Tennessee's 9, Penn State's 10. That's your top 10. So that's all Big Ten, SEC, with the exception of Notre Dame.
Yeah. Then they factored in, like, you know, the revenue at the gate, merchandise revenue, television contract revenue, like all the things you would evaluate if you were looking at buying a pro sports franchise. Like, how much money does this thing make? And then you take that value, put it into some kind of calculation that gives you a total value of what that franchise is worth. But they're essentially college football programs. And I'm shocked that the value's that low, honestly.
$2.46 billion, $2.3 billion?
I'm saying, like, I bet if you could put these things on the open, like, if you could be someone who was a sports owner, would you rather go own, like, the Winnipeg Jets or Ohio State football? Like, oh, I know which one I'm picking. I know which one. No, but, okay, Texas,
what you love.
Say it's we're banned, Tyvus. We have billions of dollars. We're billionaires. We want to get into sports. We're not allowed to buy Ohio State. But you could go buy Texas or Bama or Michigan. Like, you know, those are going to return a bigger investment, all of them, than any of those other pro sports franchises I mentioned. Like
Winnipeg.
Yeah, sorry. I just think that that's
going to buy the BC Lions and then hire myself to go back to play.
I bet you can get them for less than $2 billion, the BC Lions. Yeah, they've done this every year. Like, the Athletics started doing this the last few years, and it's amazing to see the values continue to go up. I know it's fake money. They can't actually do this, but in a world where they could, it's good to know that Ohio State would be in the top three, because none of that surprises me at all, the value on this team. Also, I have more of your hot takes. You ready for these? This one comes from Heron, who says, Hot Take Tuesday, Michigan will beat OSU at the Shoe again this season.
Whoa.
OSU hasn't won versus Michigan at the Shoe this decade. Hashtag Davis Warren. Hashtag love your stepmoms. Thank you, Heron. I don't know what that means.
Love your stepmom.
Sure, whatever. Maybe it's is it stepmom day? I don't know. Whatever.
I got a hot take for you.
Go ahead.
It comes from Kevin Durant. He says that what LeBron James did is exactly what he did when he joined the Warriors.
And like what you would say, he's on dog food.
Joel MVP. He said Joel MVP recently, Jaylen Brown, Reason's final MVP, Tyrese Maxey, All-Star the last 3 years. We know what Bron does. Klay Thompson, never an MVP candidate in nothing. 22 points per game. Draymond, 14 points per game, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Steph, an MVP just like Joel was. I don't get how the Warriors team is better on paper.
Tyvus, I hate you so much.
This is hot take Tuesday.
Is what
By
he
the
said.
Way, he's more like Jaylen Brown in that analogy than he is LeBron at this stage, right? Jaylen Brown is the better player.
Just telling you what Kevin
is the better scorer.
Was it not a hot take?
Nope, you're bringing this up because you agree.
It is a hot take.
Was it not a hot take? I don't agree with it at all, but this was his hot take, though.
It is a hot take.
LeBron slander by you recently?
What?
I'm not liking it.
What slander?
I'm not liking it.
What slander? You know what? Wait a minute. What slander did I ever give LeBron?
You have just been talking bad about the King.
What did I say?
You were crapping about him about taking a long time to go to Philly. Then you crapped about him going to Philly.
I've never said anything about him going to Philly. What are you talking about?
You wanted him to go to Golden State?
Yeah, that's fine. But I never said, why did he go to Philly? I never said that.
He's 41 years old and he doesn't matter anymore.
He doesn't.
So I want the haters of LeBron to take one side or the other, because you can't do both. Either he created a super team by joining the Sixers because he's that damn good, or he sucks and he's 41 years old and he doesn't matter. You cannot say both. You can't say both things.
He's definitely not Kevin Durant when he joined the Warriors.
Joining him in his prime, he won the MVP 2 years before, and they had won 73 games. The 76ers barely made the playoffs last year. What are we talking about? Kevin Durant, go to hell.
I love how it's, you know, like if you woke up Dylan at 3 o'clock in the morning and just had it like, hey, I gotta tell you something about LeBron. Like, he would be like, huh? And then in 5 seconds, he would have a TED talk ready for you. Like, instantly, he could do a TED talk for an hour on any LeBron topic you have.
I'm chewing on the fact he called me a LeBron. I never said anything about LeBron. I don't, he doesn't ruin my life. He doesn't make my life. I can care less. I couldn't care less what he does. It really doesn't bother me at all. If I was him, I would have went to Philly, too. What do you mean? I'm trying to get a ring out the door, too. Well, I'm not mad at him for that.
Couldn't care less is correct.
Yes, that's a commonly misused.
Yeah, it's not could care less. Yeah, that's if why you could care less, then you do care a lot.
Yeah, that's why I corrected myself.
You got it. Yeah, when you corrected, it made me double think. Like, wait a second, which way is it? What's the other one that people get all the time? Like, irregardless? No, that's not a word. It's regardless. Regardless of what your argument is, I disagree. Whatever. Yeah. By the way, speaking of guardians, that's terrible. I'm going to see myself now. Guardians actually did some stuff at the deadline. Yeah, get me out of here. Did they do enough for you, Tyvus? Do you feel good about the moves they made? Did,
even though that guy that's in that Brown studio over there that's listening to us, he tried to poo-poo it. What's the difference between Lowe and Cal Manzardo? They're the same guy. He's such a hater. He's so down that his team. You're talking
about Ryan Baker.
Yes. He's so upset that his team has no shot at making the postseason that he's trying to poo-poo what the Guardians is doing. He's not going to bring me down.
Guardians got
World Series, here we come.
Uh-oh. One of the few.
We're going to take the Dodgers out, baby. Done.
One of the players that the Reds did part ways with, even though they had a bunch of guys they could have parted ways with, and they didn't. That was a good sign, right? That they went out and got, I'm blanking on his name, Nathaniel, what's his face? Why am I blanking on who they got?
Who are you talking about?
Who'd your team pick up, Tyvus?
Nathaniel Lowe.
Yeah, it's like you just said, Lowe. Yeah, but who'd they get? Who's the guy who's going to play right field, we think?
Joe Adele.
Yeah. So they got Lowe and Joe.
Lowe, Joe, and Griffin.
Yeah, that's right. They made some moves. They got an arm. They got some bats. They needed some help that way. To the point that they optioned Kyle Manzardo, who was leading the team in home runs, down to AAA because they just don't have room for him on the roster. Good moves. I like it. Meanwhile, the Reds did absolutely nothing. Got rid of almost none of their expiring contracts.
I blame what's the guy that's in charge?
Nick Kroll.
I blame him.
I don't know if this is a good fan poll or not.
I can't see what he looked like now. Would you send me that?
It's on our Twitter, @BonaTyvus971. I'll just say this. Nick Kroll has been with the Reds organization for like 20 years in various functions, working his way up, I'm fairly sure. I don't know who's been more useless in their functionality with the franchise they work for. Nick Kroll with the Reds or Mike Priest with the Jackets? Because he's been there since 2007. Mike Priest has, as the essentially highest ranking member of the ownership or front office that's not named McConnell. And what has happened since 2007 to now is basically nothing.
Is Nick Kroll the guy when they was chanting sell the team and he said sell it to who?
Oh no, that was one of the Castellini sons. So I think now runs the team as the ownership group. Not Bob. Bob Castellini was the dad. I forget which fail son that was of the Castellini.
How about we open it up to who's been the worst run Ohio franchise?
Ooh, I like that.
20 years.
Dang. You can put Reds in there.
Reds, Browns, Jackets.
Jackets. Dang. Yeah. Do it. Ooh. Fan poll brought to you by JT's Pizza Pub. The worst run organization in Ohio sports over the last 20 years.
That's tough.
A team that won a national championship isn't letting success change who they are. Some people are just very mad about who they are. We'll tell you about it in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
West Side traffic is just looking really busy on this Tuesday morning. Another traffic trouble spot includes 70 in that eastbound direction at Wilson Road, right after you're passing 270, that outer belt out there. Also, a heads up for our north side drivers. Of course, just south of Westerville, a little bit slower. 270 in that westbound direction. People using that ramp to head 71 northbound towards Polaris. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com.
Tyvus hates Girl Scout cookies.
I hate it.
And little girls.
And America.
I hate it, hate, hate. Seriously, Tyvus, what the hell?
Okay, whatever this is, I already hate it.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Okay, I have two things to remind you of, okay? Don't forget either of these. One, wherever you get your podcast, you should be getting T-Bone and Tyvus' podcast. That's our podcast. It's brought to you by our friends at Capital Ford of Columbus. Just go to wherever you get podcasts, search T-Bone and Tyvus, click like, follow, subscribe, whatever is there. Maybe even leave a comment on how much, a rating, how much you like the show. Or don't, whatever. You can get that there. And if you didn't hear the whole show today, you might not know why whenever I go, ah, like Tyvus loses his mind. Now you can listen to the podcast and find out.
I want Dylan to cut that out.
I know, we need not mine, the original one. We need that. The other thing is tomorrow is Ask Tyvus Anything. So you can get those in now. You can tweet them to us at Bone and Tyvus 971.
I thought you was going to say.
You can also call us 614-460-8010. Leave a voicemail for your questions tomorrow with Tyvus. We will play those all morning. Well, tomorrow at 7:30, I guess. 23 hours from now. There you go.
I thought you was going to remind them to like wash their face and brush their teeth.
No. That's your
put deodorant.
I assume most people listening to us are grown.
Put deodorant on.
That's on you. I don't remind people of that other than my kids.
Some people might be in a rush. If you was in a rush and you could only do one thing, either wash your face or brush your teeth, which one you choose?
Brush my teeth 200 times a day.
I don't know. Other than in the shower, I wash my face in the shower, but I don't wash it outside of the shower. Like I get in the shower.
What do you mean by that?
I wash my face when I'm in the shower. Like I take a shower. I take a shower every day.
When you wake up in the morning, you take your shower.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I get up and take my shower every morning.
What happens if you like didn't take a shower that morning?
Then I don't wash my face. Like I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't really wash my face in the sink that often.
I mean,
either.
I wish.
What's going on?
I probably should have. have a skincare routine that's better.
What are you two talking about?
I don't wash my face outside of the shower.
What's wrong with y'all?
I'm just telling you what happens. I'm not saying it's right. I also eat a Taco Bell way more than the average human should.
What's going on?
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it is.
What's going on?
What do you mean, what's going on? What are you
what
doing?
What do you mean you don't
How many
wash
times a day are you
face?
Washing your face?
First of all, shout out to my people at Caps. I wash my face twice a day. That's why my skin looks so good. Shout out to the people at Caps, by the way.
What does Caps have to do with you washing your face?
My products is from Caps.
Oh, I didn't
yeah,
know
I got
you
a
got,
skin routine.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Oh, yeah. It wasn't just hair. No. We did skincare routine,
good.
Too. That's why.
That's nice.
That's why TV, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you
good.
Should do that. Yes,
it
of course.
Pop off the camera. I'd be like, just aura. You just see it. You ever seen? No, you ain't see The Last Dragon, so you don't know you don't know when Bruce Leroy got his glow at the end.
No, I
that's
didn't
me
know about
on
that.
TV. Okay. I just got the glow.
Okay. So you have, so you do skincare routine and you wash your face a couple times a day. Yeah. I don't do that.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
What's going on with you two?
I take the stuff that I put on my head and I just also lather my face, beard, the whole thing, and then that's what I do.
Yeah, give me the 2-in-1, 3-in-1, 4-in-1, 5-in-1.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Wow.
I want to look the age I am or
I
older.
Guess.
I want to look older than I am.
Yes.
So then people are shocked now, but then later in life when you are super old and they're like, "You're old. Wow. You're only 55. Look at that." And then they'll think I feel bad
I get
for that person.
2-in-1, the shampoo and soap.
Yeah, or the like he said, 3-in-1 with the conditioner. I mean, I got it's, body hair, Tyvus. I got a shampoo and do it all.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry to break the show here. I didn't know that. But yes, I only wash it in the shower. Maybe that's the fan poll. How often do you wash your face? You're be in the minority, Tyvus, I think. The team that won the national championship, not letting success change who they are. So Indiana does not play. I mean, they don't schedule big out-of-conference games under Kurt Cignetti. They have just canceled a series with Notre Dame in 2030 and 2031, which is still like 5 years away. So I don't.
Is the SEC going to complain to him about that?
I'm sure they will. But if you look at their schedule, their non-conference schedule, like coming up this season, they play North Texas, Howard, and Western Kentucky. And it pretty much is that type of schedule every year. They don't have any Power 5, Power 4, Power Team, whatever you want to say. None of those teams are on their schedule, at least through what's released, which is through 2030. They have some FCS schools on there, some directional Midwest schools on there, but nothing outside of that. And I don't like that for the future of college football. I also understand that Indiana at this point is basically saying, we went 16-0 last year and we didn't play any of the schools that y'all said we should. So we'll do it our way.
I'm not mad at him. I mean, it is what it is at this point. I mean, for their fan, the thing is this. Like, I think that they was, obviously last year was an unbelievable season. It was magnificent. I'm not willing to say consistently that that's going to be the norm for them. I would love for it to be for Big Ten purposes, but I'm not there yet. I know they had two great seasons back to back where they've done really well, but I got to continue to see the longevity of it for me to be there. So I don't have a problem with it at all. Or what I will say is it gives them a chance to be in the conversation to make the CFP. And that's where coaches are nowadays. They're doing whatever it takes for them to have an opportunity to not get fired. And that scheduling three games where it's not going to be a lot of competition there, you're always going to know, like, all right, I'm at least get three wins. Now I need three more to be bowl eligible. And then after that, we'll talk about making the CFP. So I'm not, you know, it is what it is.
Everything you said is logical. Can I just push back on one aspect of it? Like, Kurt Cignetti will never be fired at Indiana.
You don't think?
No. Like, this
what
man.
What if he won a national under 500 for a straight year?
Amend. Like, if he.
Go. Okay.
I don't know. If he and Diana Rossini end up meeting in Sedona, there could be some questions there, I guess. But you know what? Are they winning?
I don't think Diana Rossini is going to make that mistake twice.
I'm just saying, like, there could be something off the field that happens. I don't think so.
I think this next time I'm just saying, come with some paper. It might be some paperwork.
He could go. He could go 3-9 in the regular season the next 3 years. They're probably not firing him because he won them a national championship. There would be some questions. There would be some, I told you so.
Who on thin ice that I want to know will get fired is Clemson. Would they ever fire Dabo?
Well,
that's a good question.
They won a lot earlier in his tenure,
It's been going. So would you ever fire Dabo?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Didn't he win two national?
Clemson is a far different program. Yeah, two, right?
Yeah.
Clemson's a far different program than Indiana is as far as where they started. I don't want to get into this whole debate again, but like, I do think what Kurt Cignetti did at Indiana is so significant, winning a championship at a place like that that historically just has not cared about football. It's the losingest program in college football history, at least it was when he took it over. Yeah, I don't think he's getting fired there anytime soon. So my point is, why not schedule these big games? If you lose them, yeah, you may not make the playoffs. Oh, well, you're still getting paid $10+ million, still coaching ball, and you are going to not get fired from that place. So why not take the risks?
If he went under 500 for four straight seasons, he wouldn't be getting fired.
Well, I got news for you. I don't think he would just because it's Indiana and they would say, we're just happy that we're winning. We were winning. That was awesome. We're never getting rid of that guy.
Greatest 2 years.
Yeah, they would take it. But I'm saying I don't think he's ever going to lose more than like five games in Indiana because of the way he schedules. Either. I'm just saying if you did, what's the big risk? Like, I get it with some other coaches saying, I don't want to take that risk. Kurt Cignetti should have the lowest risk of any coach.
The problem would be he would fall into the Dan Lanning problem. But obviously, he got the one championship where you got Mark Cuban funding you all this money, but you're not producing.
That's a big difference. But if tomorrow Mark Cuban says, never mind, I don't want to fund the football program, like, he still would have them more successful than they've ever been. Like, I'm convinced of that. He did that before Mark Cuban started signing checks. So, yeah, I think.
One time.
Oh, yeah. Two times. I'm saying the
not
first.
Not before Mark Cuban got them Fernando Mendoza.
That's fine. I'm saying before that, though, he won a decent, like, that turnaround they had in year one was pretty shocking. And that was before Mark Cuban money. I'm saying if he goes and wins 8 or 9 games a year, even if he never hits a national championship again, even if that whole narrative goes away about him being the greatest coach ever, all that stuff, he's not getting fired at Indiana. So why not take some risks and go play some of these fun games?
If you want to beat Indiana, you're going to have to stop the run. It's going to come in the trenches. Mm-hmm. That's the only way.
Yeah.
Hearing him talk about the new quarterback, we're going to have him do different stuff. And a lot of it's going to have to do with him running the ball, but handing the ball off to the running backs. So if you want to stop them and you want to really test a quarterback out, you better stop that run.
Well, we'll find out. Buckeyes travel to Bloomington, right, this year?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, so that's, we'll find out. Your final hot takes of the day. Plus, we'll hit the buzzer next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Westside traffic is just looking really busy on this Tuesday morning. Another traffic trouble spot includes 70 in that eastbound direction at Wilson Road, right after you're passing 270, that outer belt out there. Also, a heads up for our Northside drivers. Of course, just south of Westerville, a little bit slower. 270 in that westbound direction. People using that ramp to head 71 northbound towards Polaris. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Bishop and Friends.
You can't bring that up in our house. I don't want to hear about it. My certain wife doesn't want to hear about it. So we're just going to act like it's not going to happen and then deal with it.
The days are long. The years are fast, right?
Bishop and Friends. Sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Your home for football, food, and fun. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Joining the program, one of the hardest working guys in this building. A man that can do anything in this building. Anything.
Agreed.
Eric Reeser.
Wouldn't go that far, but good morning, gentlemen.
You could do anything. There's no job.
Oh, I don't know about that. Try to put me in front of a green screen and watch me fumble through traffic in the morning.
Are you like camera shy?
I wouldn't say I'm camera shy.
No, yeah.
But I don't know if
waves, as he waves to our camera. That was good.
Everything that goes on behind me as like a traffic report, like say 270, there's an accident because some idiot used the smart lane that wasn't open.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I try to point at that. There'd be cars whizzing by me on the other side. And I feel like I would take up the middle.
Did you guys, by the way, did you see the video on 10TV? I think this happened.
Of the idiot using the smart lane on 270?
Was it the one that was the car was like wrecked? Is that the one? Someone was stuck in that lane. Their car had either stopped or I don't know if it was in an accident or whatever it was, but the person was out of the car and trying to figure out what to do.
And in a lane?
Well, it's in
so
the
smart lane's the berm.
Okay. Like
the and HOV. You're not supposed to use it unless there's excessive traffic, and it might not have been 270.
I think it's on. It could have been 670.
I know 670 has a smart lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. 270.
So only if you're allowed to use it, only if it gives you the green light, but somebody was there.
Well, somebody was there. And I saw this on 10TV yesterday where they're out of their car and they're trying to figure out what to do. And then you see on the traffic cam two other cars, one of which is clearly trying to pass in that not open smart lane.
Yeah.
They try to pass this car that's also trying to like keep them from passing. It kind of looked like. And then they both run into that person's car and they had to jump up on the wall, the median wall.
So this was 670.
Oh, wow. Oh man. This video was terrifying to see. The person looked like they made it out okay because they hopped off the wall and then they went over and checked on the other car and like,
oh, wow.
I can't imagine. You know me.
I hope they wasn't driving in Texas.
My vertical's in millimeters, so I would have been a giant splat. That would have been for your boy.
I'd have missed the Tuesday episode of Bishop and Friends.
I doubt it. I think that when your life is involved,
you'd
be shocked what you could do. You'd have turned the clocks back on that wall. You'd have looked like
NFL version.
I'd be able to drop it. It'd be fine.
Reeser, you got engaged.
I did.
You're getting the ball and chain. Congratulations.
I would say she's getting the ball and chain. You know, semantics. Thank
congratulations,
you.
Congratulations, Reese. That's awesome.
Was it like a romantic thing?
Well, I had this plan that was going to do it Saturday night for her birthday dinner at her favorite steakhouse in Pittsburgh. But then her parents cautioned me against that, saying she would hate the attention.
Okay.
And it turns out it was the best idea. So we had a table set for outside, but then our reservation got moved inside to a high top.
Okay.
So my plan was to drop a napkin, go down to the napkin, have the ring be on the knee.
That'd be smooth.
But at the high top, because I'm short, I would have been at her knee. So it all worked out doing it the Friday night in her parents' backyard.
That's good.
So it was nice.
And then did she enjoy the way you did that? Obviously she said
yes. She got a kick out of it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's what matters. I mean,
right.
All this stuff that we do.
All I care about is her happiness.
What if she said no? Does the relationship end?
Boy, it helped to have the answer to the test before I walked into the classroom.
And that's the way you should do it.
It would have been an awkward weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's
for sure. I always wondered. Because
it was Friday night I did it. So I'm there Saturday and then Sunday. We only took one car.
I want to know how that works. If they say no, does the relationship end?
Tyvus, how did you propose? Like, did you just look at her and be like, what do you think? Yeah?
Okay. I said, listen, we ain't getting no younger. You know?
Okay.
Let's get it over with. Let's do it.
Okay.
So you had an idea that she would say yes.
I'm kidding. No, I did it at my oldest daughter's gender reveal. So what happened was we had her idea was she wanted to spike a football. You know, it was football related. She wanted to spike a football.
Yeah.
You spike a football, boom, the colors pop out. That's what you find out what you're having.
Yeah.
Well, I told her to kick it, so she punted it. And when she punted it, she was waiting on the colors to come out, but no colors came out.
Oh.
So it was a note in there. And the note asked, will you marry me? So when she turned around, I was on a knee.
Oh, look at that. That's smooth.
Well, you know,
it's pretty good.
You thought that all up by yourself?
No, yeah, I did actually.
Nice.
Yeah, but you had a good sense. You knew like two women gonna be like, I was actually here just for the gender reveal. I'm not here for the engagement. I don't.
If she would have said no,
right? That would have been tough.
Then we would have been co-parenting a child.
Yeah, I had to see when I got engaged. I've told the story before, but.
And me alone would have been my new one.
Hey, good for you.
Already had a backup plan.
Smart. The movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith had come out in theaters with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, where they try to kill each other.
Yeah. Well, that movie, just being Mr. and Mrs. Smith, we had wanted to go see it, and that was when I popped the question. I went to the theater. Stood up. I told the theater I was going to do it.
Oh, you did it in the theater.
I stood up in front of everybody, did the public embarrassment thing.
Man.
And I said, I want to make you my Mrs. Smith. And everybody was, and she loved it. And like, they brought the lights up. They turned the projector off. And then we had to sit through an entire 2-hour movie, just kind of being like, well, what do we do? Should we leave?
I didn't see the movie.
I didn't think that part through, though, because
you bought the ticket.
I know we did. And they were very nice over there at the AMC Easton back in the day. But yeah, I'm just saying that's how long ago it was. But that was but if she had said no, I would have been like, well, I'm going to watch the movie.
I'm going to go sit over here and by myself and watch this movie.
Enjoy
a movie.
No, because I genuinely thought she would say yes, and then she would be like, well, we don't have to do this. Let's go celebrate. And she was like, no, I want to see this movie. And I was like, oh, good, I do too. But I wasn't planning on seeing it. So,
well, by the way, the AMC Easton eating there while watching a movie now, they got like a full restaurant menu.
Yeah.
Really?
They do whole thing. Yeah. It's like they've turned into the movie tavern type place.
I don't know if I've ever even seen a movie.
Oh, they'll bring you. They'll bring you a whole. You can probably get a steak there.
You can. Yeah. I ordered the whole menu when I was there. I just kept ordering stuff. You're sitting there for 3 hours.
You should be buying me breakfast.
Yeah, I know.
Tomorrow I'm buying you White Castle.
Well, they don't have a waffle thing. They discontinued it.
Now, see, that's a problem. Reese, congratulations. Congratulations on the engagement.
Yes, congrats.
We're all excited for you. That's awesome. And what else is coming up on the show other than that discussion?
So Dom Tiberi got a Twitter. I think it's Dom Tiberi 13, so go and follow him. As he's got 3 weeks before he's got to get back to work. I think his Twitter got hacked. Yeah, Dom Tiberi 13 is the one you want to follow. He'll be on at 10:30 this morning. Our most interesting program series centers on the Indiana Hoosiers. Can Cignetti maintain college football's mountaintop? Jacob Goins from the Locked On Hoosiers podcast is going to join us at 11:30. 10 o'clock, we'll do the real truth. And then it's preseason poll season, a new wrinkle for the coaches' poll, and it's unveiled today at noon. Right after our show. Can we get a poll during our show?
Yeah, right.
That's all I'd ask. But it won't happen because AP poll is next Friday.
Dylan, we did the fan poll, right? It's worst run organization.
Yes.
Reds, Jackets, or Browns, correct?
I phrased it as which Ohio sports franchise has been managed the worst this millennium?
You got a couple in the running this past week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
That's
always
good.
Always fun. Bishop and Friends coming up 9 to noon right here on The Fan. Thank you, Reese.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services.
Feeling the heat?
Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on train systems, including 0% APR for 60 months.
So I saw this. Apparently, John Orrond, who has covered sports broadcasting media stuff, he writes for his varsity newsletter called Puck. He suggested that there are two guys who could replace Tony Romo should CBS decide to fully move on from the beleaguered analyst.
Tyvis Powell.
Not on the list that he mentioned, but sure, could be being discussed as we speak. We don't know. But he mentions one, J.J. Watt, who obviously will replace Tony Romo in the short term while he is suspended.
Mm-hmm.
But he also brings up Greg Olsen. And I just want to point out, thank God someone considered what does this mean for Greg Olsen? Because it feels like every time a sports media job
he got deal
has
wrong.
It's what did this mean for Greg Olsen's career? What will this mean? How dare they take Greg Olsen off the air?
I feel like he got
but he's,
wrong.
I would say, one of the best.
I agree.
No, he is good. I just feel like there has been a long time where, like, from the day it happened with Tom Brady, everyone just... They treat it like they took the guy out and shot him. And it's like, they're still paying him millions of
he's
dollars.
He's still getting a nice check
still
to do
go
a good
and
job.
Call games. He's just not the number one guy because Tom Brady was there. But if he wants to go do it, I'm sure CBS, they would be very smart to hire him if they are done with Tony Romo for sure. So, yeah, we'll see how that plays out. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, before we go, a heads up for our overnight and early morning drivers. We will see a portion of 315 southbound closed completely at 70. It's going to start at 10 o'clock tonight, last till 5 a.m. the next morning, but that detour is going to be no joke. So the key is getting off nice and early, 315 southbound to 670 in that eastbound direction. From there, heading 71, and then 70 westbound, and eventually heading back southbound over on 71. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.